Aaron's Rod and the Currency of God's Leadership, the Opposition of John Bente, Part 2. The following message was preached by Brother Emmanuel on Tuesday, the 2nd of April, 2019, at Bible Faith Tabernacle, Lagos, Nigeria. Originally preached as one message and subsequently split into two. In this second segment, Brother Emmanuel is addressing a very specific issue concerning the opposition of the current present leadership of God. Brothers and sisters, as we continue our message, titled Aaron's Rod and the Currency of God's Leadership, the Opposition of John Bempte, we must never forget the truth concerning the divine application of the rod of Aaron. Otherwise, it means that we see nothing, and we understand nothing. With Aaron's rod aborted, being placed inside the ark, establishes one solid irrefutable scriptural truth that there is a divine leadership, a current leadership of God, that is attached or tied to the carriage of the ark, which is the word of God, to ensure the collective body leadership into all truth. We saw in Numbers chapter 16 and 17 precisely why God told Moses to lay the rod of Aaron that budded before the testimony. God said that it was to shut the mouths of the people from rebelling against God's current leadership. That was why Aaron's rod was placed inside the ark as part of the ark, a permanent reminder to the children of Israel. You must never rebel against the divine leadership that God establishes to guide his people in the light of the word of God, because the rod of Aaron speaks of God's divine leadership, and this leadership is inherently current because God is not I was, but he is I am. That was precisely why when Apostle Paul passed away, the leadership mantle fell on Apostle John, which enabled and emboldened him to declare in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, proclaiming, "We are of God," referring to himself and Apostle Paul, both light bearers, both successive leaders into all truth. "He that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth, and the spirit of error." What a hard claim for a mortal to make, and yet it is God's truth. All on account of the current leadership of Jesus Christ into all truth, Christ's revelatory authority, Aaron's rod aborted, that was invested in Apostle John, in the junction of time, in the first church age, the Ephesian church age, think about it. But let another man, the end time John, make the very same declaration, and the Branham movement all go berserk, crying, "Antichrist, baloney, deceiver, Nicolaitan, false prophet." But as it is written, "Wisdom is justified of her children." Matthew 11:19. Now, let them call St. John, the beloved disciple, an antichrist, and see just where they will end up on the other side. Let them call him a usurper of the position of Jesus Christ. Let them call him baloney. Let them tell him, "We do not need to hear you, because you are not Jesus Christ, our Savior, and it is only Jesus Christ our Lord who died for us. You did not die for us. To know Jesus Christ is life, for he is the way, the only way." The Bible did not say we must listen to John, for he is life. It says we are to listen to Jesus Christ, the only Messiah. No man is a leader, because it is a fivefold ministry. Apostle Paul is our leader. With his death, the Holy Ghost is now our leader. Yuck, yuck, yuck. May I warn whoever has ears to hear. We cannot make it on our own without following God in the currency of his leadership into all truth. No man will make it into the rapture following himself, leading himself, as that is total self-deception. Which is why I said in the last segment of this message, if God is truly leading you in the light of Romans 8:14, that same leadership will also place you within the confines of John 16:12-13, leading into all truth. For it is absolutely impossible for that leadership to keep you away from being led into all truth, because the leadership of God is one. Moreover, it is an absolute scriptural fact that you will never have unity of the faith without following the current revelatory leadership established by the Spirit of Jesus Christ in this final junction of time in Laodicea. The willful denial and blatant rejection of this leadership is precisely why the movement is in a greater barbell confusion than the organized religious world, a barbell they will never come out of. It is obvious that they hate leadership, and that they are people whom God cannot lead. When Moses died in the wilderness, How come the priests and the Levites did not find their way to the promised land by themselves? They all had to follow one man, Joshua, the current lead ministry in the day, the successor lead prophet, on account of the light of God that he bore, all under God. Brother Amos points to the chart. Why did they not all find their way by themselves, as the movement is doing today at this evening time? I ask this very pertinent question because there were priests on ground, and there were Levites on ground, right there in the days of Joshua. For Joshua was not the only man in the ministry. They had a threefold ministry of prophets, priests, and Levites, and yet they all had to follow Joshua in the continuing light of God that he bore. Why is that? It is because anything else would have brought confusion, total confusion in the wilderness. Moreover, the rod of Aaron speaks of divine leadership, present tense leadership, current revelatory leadership, for there is currency to God's leadership, leadership into all truth, for we serve a living God and a risen Christ, a living Christ. Furthermore, truth never comes in a vacuum, for there always has to be a vessel to carry the torch of truth in order to move the kingdom of God forward in the progressive light of God's revealed plan of salvation. And outside of the followership of this divine leadership, you will never have unity of the faith, only confusion, which plagues the camp of the 10 elders to their very core. I know that this truth gives the movement a serious stomachache, but the scriptural fact remains that when we get to the hour of the thunders, when we are to move from the consumption of written revelation into the consumption of the unwritten, rich and deep truths of God, hidden truths, there will still be leadership, which is precisely why Archangel Michael will come directly to John with the fully open scroll for his total consumption, because Aaron's rod of ordered cannot be laid on the shelf. We brought up this truth in our scribe titled The Lead Thunder and the Chronology of Revelation 10. Since Aaron's rod stands for God's current leadership in the light of redemption, because God's leadership is tied to the revealed program of redemption, that was the reason Jesus declared in John chapter 16, verses 12 to 13, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come, today in 2019, things of Jesus Christ that are ordained for this very junction of time in Laodicea. God is not going to raise William Branham from the dead, for the prophet will remain dead, and God is not going to raise Raymond Jackson from the dead, in order to show us the prophetic things that we are facing, and the things that we will face today in 2019, for the chief apostle will also remain dead, and neither is God going to speak to every person making up the body of Christ individually in their bedrooms in order to give them the revelation of these things. All elect equals of God will have to listen to someone somewhere, someone with equal food, which is nothing but the fresh carcass of the word, fresh nuggets upon nuggets of Bible truths, which is the manner of life. And unless you see this truth, brothers and sisters, you do not know what the divine leadership of God is about. You are just talking, and as Brother Jackson often stated, you are merely beating your gums together, and anyone can do that. It is written in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Do you think that the verse is speaking about seeing literal visions and dreaming actual dreams? No, that is not what it relates to. For anyone can see visions and dream dreams, and that is precisely why with all their dreams and visions, they are still going to wind up in the lake of fire, all because they refuse to follow the currency of God's leadership into all truth. They refuse to follow the vision of all, the Holy Bible, which alone gives us the vision that the book of Proverbs is talking about, which is a revealed mind of God for the hour. Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, I show you an absolute divine and infallible picture, Aaron's rod and the currency of God's leadership. This brings us to consider the last major thought we want to focus on in this message, a pressing issue that we need to deal with today, based on current developments in the movement. On March the 30th, 2019, Pastor John Bente of Bible Believers Fellowship, Tema, Ghana, held a youth special forum to discuss two topics. But for the purpose of this scribe, we will only be dealing with one, the first topic, which covers three issues: the chief apostle issue, the successors of the prophet, the John of our day. Since we have seen the divine application of Aaron's rod recorded, which is tied to God's current leadership in two, all truth, particularly as it relates to the lead apostolic ministry which the Lord is now using to ensure unity of the faith, and we will now end this message by addressing the opposition of John Bemte of Tema, Ghana, to this continued message of Jesus Christ of the Holy Scriptures. I will begin this matter by delving straight into the encounter I had with him, precisely on April the 24th, 2004. It is a testimony I have given a number of times over the years in open chat services, and it is even laid out in our April 2015 scribe, titled, The Prosperity of Sown Seeds, Part 1, beginning from the second paragraph in column 2, page 27, to page 30, and although out of respect, I did not mention his name in that scribe, as such, it is not a new testimony. John Tay was at the Spring Convention at Faith Assembly, Jeffersonville, Indiana, USA, in April 2004, and this was several months before Brother Jackson passed away in December of the same year. As a fellow ministering brother all the way from Africa, and coupled with the fact that it was his first time ever to attend Brother Jackson's convention, of my own volition, I thought it would be good to have some fellowship with him, and to make him feel welcome. I informed my wife that I would go over to his room to say hello, and off I went. John Tay had attended the convention with an elder from his own church, Brother Rustin Gamey, and they both stayed in the room next to mine, in the Fellowship Hall at Faith Assembly, which is within the church premises, and not in any hotel, contrary to what John Tay has claimed. Pastor John Tay said to me in the presence of Brother Rustin Gamey, words which amount precisely to this, Brother Amos, there is a grace of God upon your life, and there is a grace of God upon my life. Honestly speaking, I was just looking at him, waiting to see exactly where he was going with all that flattering talk, as he was making an appeal to one's ego. He continued, Brother Amos, God has something for you, and God also has something for me. Look, as I am here now, I am just coming from Krefeld, Germany, where I attended you at Frank's Ministers' Convention, and I made useful contacts. I just sat with utter disbelief at the hypocritical and compromising attitude of the man. He had attended you at Frank's Ministers' Convention in Germany, where he had been just before coming to Brother Jackson's convention, fellowshipping with two men who do not, in any way, agree on the Word of God. Oh my! I looked at the man, and I felt pity in my heart for him, although he is at total liberty to walk with whosoever he chooses. That was why he was making useful contacts in Germany, so that he can build a network with these men, and trot all over the globe, ministering from country to country. But ask me, what is the message he will be carrying all over creation, if not utter compromise, dancing to the gallery wherever he goes? Which simply means that he preaches what suits each assembly. And before anyone takes offense at that, may I warn you that I have a very valid reason for saying that, because the man has attended my assembly before, and that was exactly what he did. I am not saying these things to run down the man, or to destroy his ministry. I say it because it is a fact. And you must know that I cannot allege what I cannot justify. I cannot make that allegation without having solid facts with which to substantiate it, and I will give you the facts shortly, for we are not here playing games with the message of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible. Brothers and sisters, turning back to the event on the day at Faith Assembly, please note that this was barely 2 hours before the evening service on that Saturday. John Tay added, we followed Brother Branham. And we do not need to follow another white man, because God has something for you for the people, and God has something for me for the people. I gave him an incredible look, because I could not believe what I was hearing. Church, who cares whether it is another white man that we are following, as long as the man has a word of life? Who cares for the race or the color of a man's skin, when the truth of the word of God is ringing forth from his ministry? Brother Raymond Jackson bore the standard of truth for the universal bride of Christ, in the junction of time, as a chief apostle, a terminology which, as I must continue to reiterate, means the very same thing as the apostle that we find in Romans 11:13, Galatians verse 7-9, except we lack a basic understanding of the English language. But the question is this: Raymond Jackson bore the continued revelation of the Holy Scriptures for the universal bride of Christ in his hour of time, and as such, just how was the color of his skin or his race now to be an issue? Right there at Faith Assembly, John Tay was using racial sentiments to get me to compromise my firm, very categorical, and unwavering stand for the continuing light of Christ that brought the Jackson bore, and to drive home his carnal talk. He rebuked me with the words of Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, saying, "Brother Amos, I will remind you of the words of Apostle Paul to the Corinthians." He rebuked them for following one man, telling them, "Some say I am of Paul, some say I am of Apollos." But Paul told them, "Ye are carnal." Then he applied this rebuke to the current situation, saying, "Some say I am of Richard Gunn, some say I am of Ewald Frank, and some say I am of Raymond Jackson." Apostle Paul said, "Ye are all carnal." Since I had heard that scripture used so many times before, all with a carnal application, and I was sick to my stomach, and tired of hearing the carnal nonsense, seeing that those who make this carnal application have absolutely no true understanding of the basis for the Bible rebuke. So, I simply asked him, "I will ask you just one question. If Apollos was not standing for the truth of Apostle Paul, if Apollos was not standing for the same truth that Apostle Paul had laid down for the body of saints, would he have given the rebuke to the Corinthians? Because they would have had to make a stand, a definite stand, for as it is written in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, they cannot walk together unless they be agreed on the strict basis of the word of God." Apostle Paul could give the Corinthian saints this rebuke, because Apollos was also standing firmly and unwaveringly for the truth which the Lord had used St. Paul to establish for the Gentile bride. Moreover, we must not even forget that Apollos was a fruit of the ministry of Apostle Paul, and that he was also established upon the truth that Apostle Paul bore. That was why in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6-8, Apostle Paul plainly stated, "I have planted, as a seed bearer, the seed planter, the bearer of the blueprint of Gentile redemption. Apollos watered, being a waterer of the seed that St. Paul planted, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one in the faith, one in revelation, one in the ministry, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Therefore, in the day, brothers and sisters, there was no need for the division that the Corinthian saints had created in the followership of the ministry, for the ministry was one, all being united in the revelation of truth which St. Paul bore for the salvation of us Gentiles, even though they all had different levels of grace, and a different manner of ministry, different ways of delivering the message of Jesus Christ. However, if Apollos was not standing for the truth that St. Paul bore, then the Corinthian saints would have had to choose whom they would follow, whether Paul or Apollos. They would have had to make a stand. That was why I asked Pastor Tay that day, if Apollos was not standing for the same truth which Apostle Paul laid down for the body of saints, would he have given the rebuke to the Corinthians? Then he realized that he had no comeback to my question. He had no reply, for he was totally stuck. Yet, he was not humble enough to admit that he was wrong in his use of the Corinthian rebuke, but rather, in his desperate bid to save face in the presence of his church elder, Brother Rustin, he said to me, "Brother Amos, we are saying the same thing." But that was most untrue, for we were not saying the same thing. The man just did an about turn. He did not expect my response, and so he was stuck with his back completely against the wall. He said, "Brother Amos, we are saying the same thing." I retorted, replied, "No, we are not saying the same thing, because you use the example that some say I am of Jackson, some say I am of Gann, and some say I am of Ewald Frank, and these three men do not believe the same thing, which clearly gives us a scenario that does not fit the Corinthian picture. Brothers and sisters, seeing that he was now feeling ashamed before his church elder. I let him off the hook because it was not my intention or desire to shame him up, and may I add that that was the only discussion I had with John Tay at Faith Assembly. So, I now told him, incidentally, my brother, these are some of the things that I will be setting forth in my message this evening. Brother and sisters, that was the day I took the sermon titled, Locating God, the Visitation of God, and it is a video message you can watch on our website. When the service started, Brother Jackson invited John Tay to testify, and it is a testimony that I have removed from our website because of his hypocrisy. Although I left the very end of the testimony just to show the saints around the globe, particularly the saints in Africa, that John Tay was in that meeting as a living witness of what the chief apostle did that night. And to think that that was the first and only time he ever came to Faith Assembly, despite being the greatest beneficiary of the contender from way back since the 70s. When John Tay came on the pulpit to give his testimony, the man went straight to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and he read out the words of Apostle Paul to acknowledge Brother Jackson's lead apostolic ministry. He said precisely, and I am quoting him directly from the video recording, and you be the judge of this testimony. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. I say shalom to all of you. If our precious brother, referring to Brother Raymond Jackson, will permit me, I will like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2. If I be not an apostle unto others, if others will not accept our brother here, for what the Lord has made him, yet doubtless I am to you, precious ones, a dear brother, Jackson, if others will not accept what the Lord has made you among his people, you are to us, for the seal of your apostleship are we in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, tonight I'm not ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of his servant over here. This entire message, brothers and sisters, came around Ghana in the year 1969. Around 1972, a group of believers started fellowshipping at Tema, Ghana, West Africa. I am a living witness of the genesis of this entire message in Ghana. Around 1974, like you heard from our pastor, referring to Brother Jackson, he visited Ghana. But by then, we were told by people from your country that he is not in the message. And for that matter, I was among the people who did not go to hear him because I was told by the people from your country that he's not in the message. It was around the same year of 1974 that we came across the contender, the magazine of Brother Jackson. There was an explosion. Our eyes were open more because we saw a ministry that is rightly dividing the message of the hour according to the scriptures. Brothers and sisters over here, the spirit of the Roman Catholicism that took away the Bible from the hands of the laity is in the entire message today. And I want to tell you, over the rain Africa, this entire message has produced the contenders of the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Our local church has been receiving 800 copies of the contender. 800 copies. We have a group of local believers who are about 2,000, so we have problem with the distribution. And you know what I do? On weekdays, I come early in the church, first come first served. I don't do that on Sundays, just not to let the St. Aaron's have copies. Brothers and sisters, this little group in Tema is well known in your nation here. We have gone through times, raw times, from preachers from Canada and States, but by the grace of God, he has kept us right in the pages of the scriptures. I am here with my brother Rustin, on behalf of the believers in Tema, Ghana, to express our gratitude, first to the Lord, then to our brother, referring to Brother Jackson, the ministers who are with him, the officers of this church. Precious brothers and sisters, by your financial contribution, those of us where they call the jungles, we have been receiving the contenders and the audio tapes. The Lord richly bless you. I am a living witness of what your contribution and support is doing over the ruined Ghana. Over the ruined Ghana, we have about 33 of independent, sovereign, autonomous local fellowships of like precious faith. We share ministries with all of them. When I rang the pastors, some of them that I was coming over here, they said I should salute you, I should greet you for them. I want to express my gratitude also to our brother Amos from Nigeria, who has been giving good testimony about us in Ghana. Brother Amos, God richly bless you. If you permit me, brothers and sisters, I want to sing a song. Then he took his signature song, which he sings everywhere, a song titled, There is Light in This Evening Time. I still have the first line, Once a Prophet Came in Our Day, ringing in my ears. For he also sang the same song here in Lagos about 5 months earlier in our November convention, precisely on November the 27th, 2003, as well as in the church in Sangoata, immediately after our convention, in an assembly of people following Richard Gann. Brothers and sisters, my mouth could have dropped that night at Faith Assembly, and I could not help just staring at this man with total disbelief. And you can confirm my reaction on a video clip we have now uploaded on our website on our video page, titled John Tay's Testimony of the Chief Apostle, because it was barely 2 hours before the time that he had just rebuked me for standing firmly and unwaveringly for Brother Jackson, a white man. I was completely put off and very disappointed. Human beings are something else. I did not even know that a prophecy was going to come forth thereafter, and neither did I know that God was going to inspire Brother Jackson to make the open declaration that he made about me that day, plainly stating, There is no doubt you will write the last chapter of the book of Acts as a bride gets ready to leave this world. May I add that the declaration passed over my head that day, for I had no clue about what it meant, except to think that I would write about the exploits of Brother Jackson's chief apostolic ministry, when the short walk of Romans 9:28, the quick short ministry walk, arrives during the coming great revival of the elect bride, which gives us the latter rain, just like St. Luke also wrote about Apostle Paul's ministry exploits in the book of Acts. Apart from the fact that the declaration caught me totally by surprise, the prophecy that followed the hypocritical testimony of John Tay, however, was a most interesting one and most perfect, for it caught the spirit of John Tay that very night, for the Holy Spirit plainly declared, The political man has established his agenda, but it shall have no effect. For in the end, my word shall be yea and amen, says the Lord. What a perfect prophetic projection! And indeed, we had just seen religious politicians testify that night. And to think that John Tay knows the truth. He knows the truth, because the man is not stupid. This man is not an ignorant man, he is very smart, but he just will not stand for truth, paying just mere lip service to the Word of God, mere lip service to the Holy Scriptures, because he is very comfortable, and he wants to be a big shot. This man is the only Pope we have in the Branham movement, for everywhere in the movement, he is being called Papa, Papa, and yet, he has the audacity to say in his youth special forum, on March the 30th, 2019, that we Nigerians love hero worship. See who is talking. A man who accepts and loves being called Papa Tay, Papa Tay, rather than Brother Tay, is knocking Nigerians as hero worshippers, simply because we can see the successive lead apostolic ministries, Paul and John, of the end time. And yet, Jesus Christ warned us in Matthew 23:8-9, saying, But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye brethren, and call no man your father, which is Papa, upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Yet, he loves to be called Papa Tay, Papa Tay, and he has not rebuked anyone for calling him Papa, which is the same thing as Pope, for the Pope is the one who the unbelievers call Papa. That is why the man walks with every man in the message movement, regardless of their beliefs, and however warped their beliefs may be, and is precisely the reason he is loved by everyone, being the greatest spiritual prostitute that I have ever met. I am only making a fair comment, a fair assessment, because it is a fact. Otherwise, we must ask, how come the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, and the scribes all hated Jesus Christ our Lord? And how come they did not love our Lord and Savior, but rather, they crucified him? How come John Tay is able to relate to every man in the ministry, regardless of their beliefs, in a way that even Jesus Christ our Lord could not do? for he is much loved by the people of Joseph Coleman, the people of Richard Gunn, the people of Ewart Frank, the people of Neil Frisby, and the mainstream people of the Branham movement. His justification for his fellowship with the various men in the movement is on account of his love for all, just as he claims, "I love them, I love them. They are my friends." He obviously has more love than Jesus Christ. Think about that, because God hates affinity with evil. For as it is written, "They cannot walk together unless they agree on the strict basis of the word of God." Amos chapter 3 verse 3. That does not mean we hate people, for nobody is advocating hatred, for we do not hate people, and there is no way we will meet these men and not greet them, or even help them, if they need our help. The fact remains that God's word calls for total separation from all unbelief, and as such, we just cannot walk together, spiritually speaking, which simply means that we cannot fellowship together, unless and except we see eye to eye on the exclusive basis of the word of God. Full stop. Isaiah chapter 52 verse 8. Amos chapter 3 verse 3. If that is hatred to you, then let it be, because we know we do not hate anyone. But we are firmly instructed by the Holy Scriptures in 2 John chapter 1 verses 9 to 11 to separate from all those whose preachings and teachings are contrary to the revealed truths of the word of Christ that we have received. Period. Saints of God, it was precisely because of John Tay's incredible association with every man in the ministry, coupled with the erroneous projection of Rolf Stroman of Norway on the so-called Jehu ministry, that I preached a sermon I took at the Fall Convention at Faith Assembly in September 2004, titled "Affinity with Evil," which we have in our Scribe magazine. Although I did not mention the name of John Tay in that message, all out of respect. Today, this man is telling the people in Ghana that when we met at Faith Assembly in 2004, we had a great dispute over my book about Brother Jackson, titled "He That Is to Come," a dispute about the possibility of Brother Jackson's death, when that is a blatant lie, an outright lie. Just how could he dispute a book which had not long been written, a book that was new, and a book which he had only just received whilst in the United States, right during our convention that was being held for only 4 days, with 2 services per day, apart from the opening day, and a convention he was attending for the very first time? Come on! Just how could he have disputed with me about the death of Brother Jackson, who was still alive and strong in the days when the book was newly published? Why would he have disputed the death of a man whose convention he was attending at that very point in time? Why would he do that? The death of Brother Jackson was not an issue in that day in any way, for no one knew that he would die shortly after the convention, with the exception of the projections that a few people had previously made, projections of people like Corinne Glass, a sister I have referred to in a number of scribes, and a death projection which John Tay had not made to me, or even brought to my knowledge, and a projection that John Tay may well not have been aware of. And if John Tay had truly disputed and or condemned the thought projection of the book, why would I have subsequently traveled to Ghana a few months after the convention at Faith Assembly, precisely in July 2004, to bring copies of the same book for his church in Tema? Some things just do not make sense. During the crucifixion of my ministry at the Youth Special Forum meeting he held in Tema, he claimed that he has a way by which he could go through the book right after he got it, which was the basis of our so-called argument in the room. Yet, in another breath, in the same youth forum, he later admitted that he had not yet known what was in the book, as at the time I took my message titled "Locating God, the Visitation of God," that evening, thereby contradicting his own testimony. Speaking specifically about the message I took at Faith Assembly, it was during the course of my message that I had mentioned the names of Ewart Frank and Richard Gunn, men whom I had followed before, and because I had also mentioned Joseph Coleman and Neil Frisby, precisely between the time frame of 120 to 129, within that message, for men who do not believe the same thing, and who have brought nothing but confusion to the body of God's people by their warped and non-scriptural teachings, men who should have followed Brother Jackson in the continuity light of the Holy Bible that he bore, men whose books I have, and whose teachings I have read and x-rayed in the Scribe magazines, strictly by the Holy Scriptures, During his youth special forum, Jonte went wild. But consider this, Joseph Coleman was the man who brought the nonsensical so-called revelation that the seven thunders of Revelation 10, verse 3 to 4, are seven virtues, fruits of the Spirit which all believers are expected to bear, a teaching that has only produced the wild spirit. You can watch him on YouTube. On the other hand, Neil Frisby taught that the bride must pass through the capstone temple that he built in Arizona in order to be ready for the rapture, and at the end of his life, having been completely housebound for a few years, taken completely out of action by so-called prophetic revelation, he handed over the capstone temple to a man who was not even a follower of the message of Elijah, and the capstone temple is now dead. So much for his prophetic revelation and the canon prophetic book titled The Revelation of the Written Scrolls and the Word of God that he wrote, for he was nothing but a blatant impersonator of the prophetic ministry. And speaking of Ewart Frank, whose book titled The Revelation, a book with seven seals, is the most empty and carnal presentation of truth that I have ever read. These are the men that Jonte is defending. And in order to smear me, he had to lie, stating that I said what I never said, falsely alleging that I said that these men were not called, when even Judas Iscariot was called. Come on, Pastor Tay said of me. He mentioned the names of Frank, Coleman, A. Richard Gunn, a host of ministers right in somebody's convention, and he said, none of them has any message, which is true, for it is a fact, they do not have any message for the word bride. Jonte then alleged, but I also said, they are not called. I never said that. That is an outright lie. I urge you one and all to watch the video between the time frame of 120 to 129. Pastor Tay continued, I was shaking on my chair there. This man, he has no wisdom. He has the power, but he has no wisdom because the Bible said Jesus is the wisdom and the power of God. So preachers, we need both power and wisdom. Don't have wisdom without power. Don't have power without wisdom. The people whose name you have mentioned, referring to me, you don't even have their books telling us what they have said, and they are not here to defend themselves. Why mention their names at somebody's convention? Brothers and sisters, what do you do with men who are given to deliberately twisting and distorting facts, and who blatantly lie, being pathological liars? Just how is this different to the Pharisees and the high priests who paid men, sons of Belial, to distort facts, and to lie deliberately against Jesus Christ, in order to crucify him? What on earth do these men really think that the ministry of the Bride of Christ is truly about? What I said about those four leaders in the movement was not only completely justified, but it was also scripturally explicit, and nothing I said was out of place. As I have stated before, I not only have their books, but I have also read and x-rayed their teachings in the scribes with the Holy Bible. The truth is, if he had sat under Apostle John in the first age of Christendom, I doubt he would have lasted for long, because of that man's most militant, unwavering, and uncompromising stand for truth. Church history tells us, and I am quoting directly from Irenaeus Against Heresies, Book the Third, laid out in the Anti-Nicene Fathers, and Olemphasis's mind, there are also those who heard from him, who was Polycarp, that John, the disciple of the Lord, going to bathe at Ephesus, in a public bathhouse, and perceiving Cerinthus with him, rushed out of the bathhouse without bathing, exclaiming, let us fly, lest even the bathhouse fall down, because Cerinthus, the enemy of the truth, is within. And Polycarp himself replied to Mason, who met him on one occasion, and said, dost thou know me? I do know thee, the firstborn of Satan. Such was the horror which the apostles and their disciples had against holding even verbal communication with any corruptors of the truth. As Paul also says, a man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted, and sinneth, being condemned of himself. This shows us the total militancy of Apostle John against all heresies and heretics. That was St. John for you, who, along with his brother, James, was given the surname by Jesus Christ, of Boanerges, which is, the sons of thunder. Mark chapter 3 verse 17. Since Pastite claimed that he was mad at me for openly standing against the leaders in the movement, then let us ask him, what nugget of scriptural truth have any of these men, including himself, brought to the bride of Christ? Let John Tay please tell us. May I ask, what he said in that forum means absolutely nothing to me, because it is even a much kinder statement than what was said about Jesus Christ. And of a truth, I really need wisdom, which is why I pray for it every blessed day. And that is the truth. Just because I stated in my sermon that these men should have followed the chief apostle in the Bible like that he bore, and that they did not, that it was all because of ambition and pride, which is why they have brought nothing but confusion to the movement, John Tay declared. This man, he has no wisdom. He has the power, but he has no wisdom. And I am set for the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had completely forgotten about the false claim he had made earlier, stating that he had gone through the book to know what I had projected therein, a projection we had argued over, for he now made an admission about the same book, clearly contradicting himself, saying, when we finished the service, after my sermon that evening, I asked him, what about all these things I am telling you? I didn't know he has put it in a book yet. Did you hear that? I will take it again. I didn't know he has put it in a book yet. Despite this open admission, which confirms that he lied about what we had discussed in the room, John Tay still claimed that he now asked me, what about if the Lord takes away Jackson? The man admits to not knowing what was in the book up to that night, and yet, we had argued earlier in the day over the contents of a book that he had no clue about at that point in time. If our discussion in the room was really about the possibility of Brother Jackson's death, which it was certainly not, how come I know that he came directly to Faith Assembly from Krefeld, Germany, where he had made useful contacts, having attended Jules Frank's ministers' convention, and not directly from Ghana, when he does not reside in Germany, but he lives in Ghana, West Africa, and when I would have expected him to have come directly to Faith Assembly from Ghana? Saints of God, it is utterly despicable for men in the ministry not to have honor and integrity. It is a big shame that men will carry the Holy Bible, and yet be pathological liars, fabricating lies, deceiving their congregations. I have no time, and not an ounce of respect for men like that, men without a prick of conscience. And for the record, contrary to the false testimony which John Tay gave during the youth forum, over the issue of the chief apostle, and over the lead ministry of John, I did not bring my book to be dedicated at Faith Assembly, and there was no dedication of the book made in any of the meetings. I merely brought copies of the book for distribution in the United States. Period. The man claimed. And this he told me and gave me, in my hotel room, where we were, before we went to the service to dedicate the books. He told me this, I am aware, there are people wishing Jackson were dead. That is a blatant lie. Our argument was over my firm and categorical stand for Brother Jackson's ministry, which was what made him use the rebuke of Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. However, it is true that from the copies of the book I had brought to the United States, I gave John Tay and Austin gave me each a copy. And then 3 months later, which was in July 2004, as I had pre-arranged with John Tay, I traveled down with my wife to Tema for fellowship, because John Tay had earlier attended our convention in Lagos the previous year, in November 2003. This was the first time I had preached the message, titled, He That Is To Come, merely showing who fulfilled the prophetic quote of Brother Branham, which is what is my infallible revelation, unveiling by the Holy Scriptures, the successor lead ministry of Elijah, the man who occupied the beginning office of the restored apostolic fold of the Ephesian ministry, as the apostle, or the chief apostle of this end time, following which I wrote the book on it. John Tay was present in those meetings, and he was under serious conviction at that time, rejoicing for hearing the truth, so much so that he could hardly sit down during the message. And he even asked me to change the date of his return flight to Ghana, and I was happy to go all the way to Victoria Island to do so, because he had momentarily cancelled all the meetings that he had pre-arranged with the people of Richard Gunn in Sangerwater, Ibadan, and Ondo, before he later shrugged off that conviction, under pressure from Billy Joseph. This took place at the home of Brother Ball Amobo, where Jonte was housed during the meetings. And may I say that the Spirit of God will not always strive with men. In other words, and please hear me loud and clear, and I say this to my precious Ghanaian brethren, prior to the death of Brother Jackson, and after the death of Brother Jackson, and even to this date, there has never been a time when Jonte and myself have ever heard any discussion about that book, or about any projections in that book, and neither did we ever discuss anything about the possibility of Brother Jackson's death. Jonte and I never ever discussed any such thing. When my wife and I visited him in Ghana in late July 2004, for I make it a point of duty to travel with my wife in the ministry, it was the message I heard from Jonte's fellow pastor, Ken Afari, during that visit, that let me know that Jonte will never distribute the books titled He That Is To Come, which we had just bought for him, because Ken Afari knocked the truth of the chief apostle during his sermon, a term which, as I have stated many times before, simply means the apostle, as opposed to an apostle. Why is something as simple as this such a big mountain for these men, if not for the gross unbelief and the idols in their hearts? And for those who have a problem with the terminology of the chief apostle, but who honestly desire to know the truth, although we have touched on it to a measure in the fourth segment of this message, I will simply ask you to download our scribe message that lays out this issue with scriptural clarity, titled, The Unseen Headship of Jesus Christ, as well as our book, titled, Headship, and censor them with the Holy Bible, period, with the Holy Scriptures to hand, to censor everything. You need not be afraid of reading the scribe. To think that this unbelieving stand of Jonte and his fellow pastor, Ken Afari, was made whilst Brother Jackson was still alive. Further, to think that John Bente was the greatest beneficiary of the contender, receiving 800 copies each time, according to his own open admission at Faith Assembly, yet he would not stand for the man's ministry, strictly in the light of the Holy Scriptures. During his youth forum, he had the audacity to speak about the fan of Matthew 3:12, but we must ask him, exactly where did he get the knowledge of the prophetic fan? Did he get it from any of the sermon books of Brother Branham, who taught him about the fan in Christ's hand, if not for the same contemptible magazine of Brother Jackson? This hypocrite, using the truths of a man to build his ministerial image, but yet not wanting to acknowledge something, and denying the truth of God's ministry accomplishment at the same time. He loves to quote the book of Revelation, yet he refused to recognize the precise place of the man who brought that book, but rather, he blatantly and willfully denies John's lead apostolic ministry in the first church age, which William Branham even acknowledged. May the Lord have mercy on these men. Coming back to continue what I was sharing about our visit to Ghana, Jonte abandoned my wife and I in a hotel room in Tema, having first welcomed us, and he traveled by road the following morning to another region of his country, knowing that I was around and that we had pre-arranged my visit. On his return from his trip, he sent his personal secretary to pick us up, and we were taken to his house, where he met us outside his gate. I came out of the car to greet and shake his hand, and I was shocked by his greeting as he referred to me as my big brother. We all entered the car, and he took us out for an evening meal in another hotel, only for him to travel again the following Sunday morning to the Volta region, leaving us yet again in Tema, which was essentially for the entire duration of our stay, just to keep me away from his pulpit. I say that because of the two service days that we were able to attend there, a midweek service and a Sunday service, I had to call the brother designated to take care of us, to bring us to the church on time, so that we could at least enjoy the song service, as well as a sermon. After all, I did not have to preach on his pulpit, but I believe that the Lord just wanted me to see the man for what he truly is. Jonte made sure that he kept us completely away from his people, and particularly from his pulpit, which was why I had to call the brother concerning the time, because on the two service days, that particular brother came very late on both the days he drove us to the services, and he brought us back to the hotel immediately after the services were over. It was as if I came to Ghana to stay in a hotel, And it was the same Ken Afari who preached at the two meetings, the one in Tema and the other in Ishman. Although, as I said, my coming was pre-arranged. I had not just dropped from the sky. Yet, Jonte had full access to my pulpit, preaching twice during our convention in November 2003. And I did not run away from him when he came to Lagos, but rather, he ran away from me in his own country, all because the man does not want his people to be exposed to the truth, for he knows that I will lay out the truth before his congregation, and show them who Brother Jackson really is. These game players, politicians, the first night he preached at our convention, which was on Thursday, November the 27th, 2003, he took a watered-down prosperity gospel message, titled, God's Purpose for You, and the whole congregation was as quiet as a graveyard, just looking at the man, because you cannot serve a carnal meal to the eagles of God. He was very much unnerved by the cold response that he received, and I say that because he asked me after the service, Brother Amos, did I say anything wrong? I replied, Brother Tay, you have never been to assembly before, meaning that he does not know the manner of people that we are. The following morning, Friday, November the 28th, 2003, I brought our own brother Victor Cole Showers on the scene, and he preached about the due divine order of the ministry, which emphasized apostolic headship. I then brought Jonte back on the podium in the evening to preach, and he took a message that carried the continuity projection, titled, Let's Cross This Jordan, and the church came alive. That is why I said that the man dances to the gallery wherever he goes. He even left us to go to Sango Altar Church in Nigeria, where he told them that they were the bride, and these were people following Richard Gunn of St. Paul, and of course, he sang his popular anthem there, his signature song, Once a Prophet Came in Our Day. The man knows exactly what he is doing, and I will not be afraid to tell you that he is not interested in any truth. Again, in his youth forum meeting last Saturday, he was very smart, and did not touch my defense book on He That Is To Come, titled, He That Is To Come, Truth in Conflict, My Defense. Yet, he took many quotes from He That Is To Come, where I stated that Brother Jackson will not die, but that he will be on ground unto the rapture, using them in a candle way to nullify the truth of God's ministry accomplishment at this end time, using them to crucify my image. Yet, the man knows full well that I am precisely in the very shoe of Apostle Peter, who also preached that Apostle John would not die before the return of Jesus Christ, a fact that is even in the Holy Bible, John 21 verse 20 to 23. According to Galatians 2 verse 8, the man who held the apostleship of the circumcision, which simply means the principal apostleship of the Jews, or the chief apostle to the Jews, Apostle Peter, made the very same projection and declaration about St. John, just like I had also made about Brother Jackson, and we all know that the standard and the judgment of God is one. Moreover, Jonte was at a burial service in Sangowata, Nigeria, in January 2010, where I touched on this very issue, of my being in the very shoe of Apostle Peter, with regards to my declaration about Brother Jackson being alive unto the rapture. And you can verify this on our website, on the video page. And the video clip is titled, Jonte's Standing Ovation on Revelation 10, 8-11. What is more, whilst I never ever said or wrote anywhere, that it was, thus saith the Lord, as my infallible revelation was strictly in identifying the man who fulfilled the material prophetic quote of Brother Branham. On the other hand, however, Apostle Peter would have used, thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ, about St. John not dying until the Lord returns, because he quoted the Master in support of his declaration, as it was what he had heard the Master say. Now let Jonte also quote the same Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 to 22, for Apostle Peter, just like he did for me in that forum. These hypocrites! I expect the opposition to knock me for the things I have written. And I even expect the devil to inspire some of the same opposition to use my writings in a twisted way in order to crucify me. I expect that. However, I do not expect a man who was the greatest beneficiary of the contender and who openly claims that he has been set for the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to do that, because it would be most deceptive For you cannot defend truth by hiding material facts that bear upon an issue. Only the devil does that. This youth special forum was conducted precisely 14 years after my defense book was published in the first quarter of 2005, but he deliberately left it out totally. That is the height of insincerity, because it is most deceptive. That is not defending truth. That is only playing a game with the souls of men. That is the height of deception, for it is downright dishonest. Just how can you address a book for about 2 hours that has a solid Bible defense without ever touching the defense that supports the book and without even letting the people know that a defense was even written? That is not standing for truth. That is being utterly dishonest and deceptive. You do not defend truth by deliberately withholding material facts relating to an issue. Only the spirit of the Antichrist does that. He should have been able to take my defense book and punch a hole in it by the scriptures, just as he had done for 2 hours with the book, He That Is To Come, if it was at all possible, to show that my defense is also scripturally baseless, if indeed it really is. It is my defense book that he should have torn down by the Holy Scriptures, if he could possibly do so. And I dare him to do just that, and when he does, he should also be man enough to send me a copy of it for my vetting. How do you use a book that has a solid Bible defense, a defense that he has obviously read, a defense that is 14 years old, without touching that defense? He even edited the entire crucifixion of my ministry from the version he placed on YouTube, titled Bible Believers Fellowship Youth Forum, and the blatant lies that he told against me. But unbeknown to him, I have the full audio recording, as our brethren in Ghana, standing firmly for this continuing truth, was kind enough to get a recording and sent to me, for a few of our brethren also attended that meeting. Why did Jonte deliberately leave out my defense book, when the book he used to knock me has a scriptural defense to all the issues he raised? How could he do that, if it is really about defending truth? Oh my! I challenge Jonte to ask his church members to read both books. He should be bold enough to do that, if what he is teaching is the absolute truth. I dare him to do that. When you have the revelation of truth with which to tear down falsehood, you can handle all books and all writings relating to that matter, and there is nothing you will run away from or be afraid of. We do not forbid any of the saints here, in this continuity life movement, from reading any book, because the only way we can keep God's children from falsehood is to not scare them from reading the writings of other men, as we do not know what can benefit their souls. Moreover, reading other materials, even if it is bad material, can only make God's children appreciate what they have. They can appreciate what the grace of God has given to us at this evening time, that we may know just how highly blessed and privileged we are. The only way we can keep the elect seeds of God from falsehood is to arm them with the truth, for once they know the truth, it sets them free from all falsehood, because with the light of truth, they can see through all error and face any Goliath in the ministry. And to prove that Jonte knows the truth, but he is only defending his little enclave, his little empire, as the saints are now seeing this continuing light of the Holy Scriptures in Ghana, because they are reading the Scribe magazines and leaving his assembly in Tema. Truth is shaking his nest, and that is precisely why at the Youth Forum, he is now willfully and forcefully blinding his own congregation to the truth, which is the act of a desperate man. Now listen to this. Jonte attended the burial service for the late wife of Billy Joseph Ogundipe in Sangoota, Nigeria, on January the 23rd, 2010. Billy Joseph had begged me to preach at the funeral of his wife, and as I took my message that day, merely to show the stand of the departed sister of the continuity truth, which I honestly thought they believed, because of the open stand they came to make for this continuing light, so I delved into the truth of the promised ministry of John, conveyed in Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 to 11. Brothers and sisters, as I was giving the breakdown of this prophetic passage of scripture, Jonte, who was sitting behind me on the platform with the other ministers, could not contain himself. He singularly stood up rejoicing, clapping his hands, giving me a standing ovation, because he knows deep down in his heart that it is the gospel truth. I have the video, and it is on our website. In the message, quoting Revelation chapter 10, verse 10, I stated precisely verse 10, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, he didn't say unto us. He didn't say unto them. He didn't say unto us. He didn't say unto them. He said unto me, who? John, thou. Not another person. Not another person. Thou must prophesy again. Right at this very time in the message, John T. gave me a standing and clapping ovation. I continued my message, declaring to the congregation, this is not my word. I show you Bible. I show you the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you now, if you tongue it down, you tongue down life. You reject it, you reject life. There is no measure of truth you can tongue down and still have life. When Eve disbelieved a little portion of God's word, death took over man. And if you disbelieve the revelation of Jesus in any measure, death will take you. But we give you opportunity for life. Verse 11, and he said unto me, now, when you say unto me, in the movement, the Branham movement, they pluralize it. But when it comes to verse 8, they singularize it. Verse 8, then I heard the voice from heaven speak to me again. The me there, they will not pluralize that. They will say, verse 8 is one man, it is John. And when you come to verse 9, and the angel gave him the book to eat, they say, it's one man, it's John. But when it comes to verse 11, they say, it's plural. How can something start by one man and end up plural? Let's finish the story. Look at what Jesus says. Verse 11, and he said unto me, John, thou, John, must, not maybe, not if you like, not peradventure, or you may, but you must, thus saith the Lord, John, must profess I say, a second time. For that is precisely what it means to prophesy again. Brothers and sisters, John T. gave me a second standing and clapping ovation at these very points in my breakdown of the Holy Scriptures on the promised ministry of the end time John. I urge those interested in truth to go and watch the video clip, which is on the video page of our website. Continue my breakdown of Revelation 10, 8-11, I plainly and categorically declared, that is a return of the spirit of John. I show you John in his ministry at the end time. Brothers and sisters, the standing ovation I received on that day are two different points during my message, quite apart from nodding his head in acknowledgement of the truth and raising up his hands at other times during that message. Among other material facts known to me is precisely why I say that the man knows the truth of John's continuing lead ministry, church. And as I have been testifying over the years, it is even at his ministers' convention in early 1991 that the Lord first dealt with me concerning the contender and concerning the continuing lead ministry of Brother Jackson. It was the truths that were laid out in the contender that the convention devolved upon in its entirety, and not that of any other man in the Branham movement, as that was what was presented throughout, which made me realize that these people knew something that I did not know, the source of which was exclusively Brother Jackson's continuity revelation. Yet, John T. used the continuing truths of the Bible that Brother Jackson bore to boost his image and understanding of the Holy Scriptures above the mainstream Branham movement, but he would not make a firm stand for his truth, or even acknowledge his principal ministry, so that his people may have the right attitude towards Brother Jackson's continuity message, with the exception of April 2004, at Faith Assembly, which he did hypocritically, far away from the sight of his people. He could openly declare to Brother Jackson, if others will not accept our brother here, for what the Lord has made him, and we must ask John T., exactly what did the Lord make him? Yet doubtless I am to you, precious ones, a dear brother, Jackson, if others will not accept what the Lord has made you among his people, you are to us, for the seal of your apostleship are we in the Lord. Since John T. is part of the seal of Brother Jackson's apostleship, then it places Brother Jackson in the very same shoe of Apostle Paul, as recorded in Romans 11:13 and Galatians verse 7 to 9 as a chief apostle, or as it is written, the apostle. For as we brought out in the previous segment of this message, Raymond Jackson is indeed the end-time Joshua type principal apostolic ministry, just as Brother Branham had declared categorically in prophecy by the Holy Spirit of the coming ministry of Apostle Paul. Now Joshua means Jehovah Savior, and he represents the end-time leader that will come to the church even as Paul came as the original leader. How much louder can the prophet speak? And what an open admission of Brother Jackson's principal apostolic ministry. John Tay also made at Faith Assembly in April 2004. How hypocritical a testimony that was. John Tay continued his testimony of Brother Jackson, and listen once again to this incredible admission. Brothers and sisters, tonight I'm not ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of his servant over here. Did you hear that? How do you relate to men like these? Is this the caliber of men that will prepare the bride for the rapture, building her up to attain spiritual maturity? Now think seriously about that, as we are not here to play games with the souls of men. Saints, John T. loves to use the term progressive revelation, for he often declared in times past that the revelation of God is progressive, not static, but yet he only toys with the progressive revelation of God, playing silly games with the message of life, rather than have a categorical and unwavering stand for truth. I say that because, as we have scripturally shown, progressive revelation does not come in a vacuum, but it has a vessel that bears it, a vessel in whose lead ministry the divine revelatory authority of Aaron's rod that budded is invested, to lead us into all truth, and was precisely why we logged onto Brother Jackson's continuity message, and what all he has from the Holy Scriptures, as per December 2004, other than what he got from Brother Branham, he has received from Brother Jackson. Yet, he would not acknowledge the principal ministry of the man, with the exception of April 2004, an admission he made far away from his people, all out of carnal ego and ambition. It is only the leadership of a dead man they will accept, even though William Branham has been dead since December 1965, as it allows them to do as they please, totally unchallenged. If we talk about another man, however scriptural the basis may be to him, that is idolatry. But if we talk about Brother Branham, that is okay, and it is not idolatry. It does not offend Jesus Christ, except when we talk about another man. What an unbeliever and a hypocrite. Nevertheless, it is his choice, and he is at total liberty to follow the path that he has chosen for himself and for his people. Now John Tay is seriously fighting this progressive light of the Word of God in Ghana, thinking that he is fighting a man, simply because the continuing truth is shaking his assembly, for the people are seeing the light and are having their questions answered by the Holy Scriptures with absolute clarity, having read the scribes as if he can stop the move of truth, which even the Church of Rome, with all her pomp and pageantry, could not stop. Brothers and sisters, I preached a message at Bible Faith Tabernacle on the 12th of April, 2007, titled, The Word, a Fire. It will create its own way, a message which is not in the scribe, that truth, being an unstoppable divine fire, will create its own path. John Tay is knocking people on the head for leaving his assembly, as if he owns their souls, as if they are his property, as if the people are bound to his assembly for life, and as if they are not at liberty to follow the light of the truth that they see. Now he is vehemently and blatantly denying the place of the end-time Paul, but he can parrot William Branham. What does it matter how many men claim to be successors of the end-time Elijah? What does it matter how many men are claiming the same quotes of the prophet on He That Is To Come? Someone had to fulfill it. What does it matter how many men are even claiming to be John? The Judaistic religious demons in that day also used the many false messiahs in the land to deny Jesus the Christ, the true Messiah, and that evil spirit is still here, ruling the men in the Branham movement, for it is leadership they hate. It is leadership they do not want and will never have. That is exactly why confusion will never leave their midst. When Jesus Christ the Messiah was here, he did many supernatural works, which no other ministry could do, or ever did, with the evident fruits of his messiahship, being the miracles, the signs and wonders, but it was obvious that there was no fruit of his ministry that the Pharisees saw, in order to identify him as the promised Messiah. In Matthew 12:38-40, they still had to ask him, "Show us a sign, and we will believe that you are whom you say you are." So, Jesus had to give them a blinding sign, the sign of the prophet Jonas. And what would they do with the sign of Jonah? Because it is something that they would never understand or catch, and something they never understood, because they were nothing but a pack of unbelievers. Unbelievers never see the sign of a true ministry, simply because they are unbelievers. By the time they see the true sign, is it going to make them believers? It is not going to make them believers, for unbelievers remain unbelievers. They are unbelievers deep down in their souls, to begin with. So, how are they going to see the sign of the ministry of the end time Paul, Brother Branham referred to in prophecy as the end time leader that will come to the church, when God placed a cap on the miraculous in order to put emphasis and preeminence on the unveiling of the pure word of God? Just how are they going to see the sign of the end time John, when they are nothing but a pack of unbelievers, when we have not entered the hour of the latter rain, and when the emphasis and preeminence of the Spirit of God is still the same, when the emphasis and preeminence of the Spirit of God is still on the unveiling of the pure and non-adulterated Word of God, which is coming without richness, incredible depth, and absolute scriptural clarity, for the sake of attaining the unity of the faith among the universal body of Jesus Christ? How are they going to see this humble sign, which gives us the continuation of the thought pool in its first phase, and is strictly revelatory? So, there is no sign of fruit of the ministry of John they are going to see. Moreover, if they do see something, what will it make them? For as long as it is not them that God is using, God is not doing anything, and nobody else is allowed to testify of God's grace and mercy. That is why John T. never stood for Brother Jackson, on account of the truth of the word of Christ that he bore for the universal bride, of which he is the greatest beneficiary. It has always been like that throughout the ages. That was why Brother Jackson could say, "It took a black man from Africa to stand for me. My people will not stand for me. You know that black man, Pastor Tay." On the weekend after the September 2004 convention, Brother Jackson had asked me to visit him in his home in Elizabeth. My wife called Sister Arlene Marshall, one of Brother Jackson's daughters, and she arranged for Melwood to bring me to Brother Jackson's home. Brother Wood opted to wait outside in order to give us privacy, but we prevailed on him to join us. It was in the presence of Brother Wood that, as the three of us sat in a triangular form in his humble home, Brother Jackson said, "Brother Wood, who would ever have known it would take a black man from Africa to defend me?" Turning to me, Brother Jackson now said, "It took you, Brother Amos, to stand for me." Brother Wood later denied these statements, saying that Brother Jackson would never say that, as he was obviously under pressure from the two apostates at Faith Assembly, when as a matter of fact, Brother Jackson had said much more than that about me, live at the Open Convention in the same year, in April 2004. Brother Wood's denial will not take away my testimony, nor will it stop me from giving the testimony of what actually took place, of what Brother Jackson said about me. What about the open testimony Brother Jackson gave on August the 29th, 2004, when he was preaching his message, titled, "The Body of Christ, Part 3. Are they also going to deny that? He said, "When Brother Amos from Nigeria was here, and he wrote the book, titled, Does Raymond Jackson Believe the Message? Most of you have read it. But I thought, it took a black man from Africa, that have known what the birds have said over there, to rise up with a backbone and say something in defense. And I'll have to say, God bless you, Brother Amos. That's more than these white fellows here in America's ever gotten. I mean that with all my heart. We got a bunch of characters here in the States, brothers and sisters. All they know is to smile. I love you, Brother Jackson. You low-down snake. You love me no better than the bulldog out there. Let them deny that." Again, during the April 2004 convention at Faith Assembly, my wife and I were in the fellowship hall downstairs when Brother Jackson came suddenly, gave me a tight hug, and he made a declaration about the book, He That Is To Come, right in the presence of my wife. he said. That book is marvelous. The way you present truth is very good. Brother Amos, I want you to know I have read books. I have read the Anti-Nicene Fathers. If only they had a man like you. When that convention was over, I stayed back, and the following week, on Sunday, the 2nd of May 2004, Brother Jackson was the one who preached, and James Allen asked me to close the service and asked if I had anything to say, that I could say it. From his seat, to the hearing of everyone on the platform, including James Allen, Bob Thompson, and all the musicians, Brother Jackson said to me, Brother Amos, I want you to know we are glad to have you. It is a privilege to know you. I thank God our paths crossed. Another time, after the September 4 convention, on September the 30th, 2004, the night I preached the message titled, The Foundation of the Fivefold Ministry, Part 1, as the service was about to close, Brother Jackson asked me and my wife to stand to the back of the church so that all the brethren could shake our hands as they departed from the church building. Brother Jackson then came and stood between the two of us, and he turned to me and said, We have seen the blacks excel in the field of sports and all entertainment, but in this way of revealed faith, they are just not there. It is so good to see God use a black man like this. The message I preached that night is the very first message that we laid out in the scribe titled The Foundation of the Fivefold Ministry, Part 1, although I continued that message the following day in East Chicago before going to Manitoba, Canada, for meetings there. When we got to our room that night, and I told my wife what Brother Jackson had said to me, she informed me that he had said the very same thing to her whilst we were standing at the back of the church. Let them also deny that. Any man can deny all he wants to. It does not make a difference, for the truth holds, it always holds. Coming back to my visit to Brother Jackson in his home, and speaking specifically about the book, titled, He That Is To Come, in relation to the Branham movement, Brother Jackson now said, If that book does not open their eyes, even a dynamite cannot wake them up. He openly renamed me, Doctor. Luke on two occasions, once openly during a convention meeting, and the other was at a restaurant in Jeffersonville, Indiana, during another convention, where we sat at a table with Dave Godvender and his wife from South Africa, Steve Yarrows and his wife, and Brother Jackson. And a segment was surnamed Pity by Jesus Christ. So did the chief apostle rename me Amos in a letter, which name I now bear, Mark chapter 3 verse 16. These will forever remain my testimony, and I will share them whenever I am moved to, and no man can take them away from me, although it does not make me anything. If Apostle Paul and William Branham could share their testimonies and experiences, I am equally at liberty to share mine. I have shared all that to say this. John Bentley did not stand for Brother Jackson's ministry, despite the torch of the Word of God that Raymond Jackson bore. Despite the great Bible light that he shed for the universal body of saints, just as we stand for Brother Branham, on the same account of the torch of the Word of God that he also bore, on account of the great Bible light that he too shed for the universal body of saints, John Tay has always refused to acknowledge Brother Jackson's position in the ministry, for it is only the lead ministry position of Brother Branham he will accept, only because Brother Branham is dead, and as such, it allows him to do as he pleases, building his own little empire, which is nothing but a little organization in Ghana, patterned after the Pentecostals. So, today, they willfully deny that there is another woman scripture, apart from Revelation 10 verse 7, when Revelation 10 verse 8 to 11 is also staring them right in the face, these unbelievers. John T. loves to say with total emphasis, stay with the Word, stay with the Bible. But Revelation 10 verse 8 to 11 is part of the Word. I was not aware that it was part of the Quran. These hypocrites, men who pay mere lip service to the Word, leadership is what they hate, just like the scribes and Pharisees, all because it is not about them. That is what is giving them a major stomachache, and that is why John Tay complained in his youth forum. But if Amos will come and tell me that he is after Jackson, he is John of the book of Revelation. The man does not have to accept any claim I make. He does not even need to mind me. but I expect him to acknowledge the truth of Revelation 10, verse 8 to 11, simply because it belongs to only one man, being strictly a repeat ministry. Just how can any true Bible believer deny plain truth, an obvious truth, one that even our babies can see? Someone somewhere has to be John, although he does not have to believe it is me, and I am not asking him to follow me, but at least, I expect a professed lover of the Holy Bible to acknowledge a Bible truth, one which plainly gives us elite apostolic ministry. John Tay is blatantly and willfully denying the apostolic leadership of the ministry. He is denying the place of minor messengers throughout the seven church ages, declaring to his congregation, the age has only one messenger, using the seven stars as his basis, when that is only a half-truth, and hence, a blatant lie, being completely anti-word. Otherwise, what are we to do with Apostle John, the man that was caught up, the candlestick of Jesus Christ in 96 AD in the first age of Christendom, according to Revelation 2-5, tied with Revelation 1 verse 1, the lead apostolic ministry in that day? What are we to do with the successive householder scribes of Matthew 13:52? We laid out the truth of this scripture in our scribe titled The Three Scribes, as well as in our scribe titled The Householder. Furthermore, exactly what are we to do with the lead apostolic ministry of the end time John, expressed in Revelation 10 verse 8 to 11, added to John 21 verse 20 to 23, where Jesus referred prophetically to the spirit of John? Just how can we accept Revelation 10 verse 7 and reject or deny Revelation 10 verse 8 to 11? How can we singularize the ministry recorded in Revelation 10 verse 7 and then pluralize the one in Revelation 10 verse 8 to 11 when it speaks exclusively of the repeat ministry of John, the return of the anointing of John, and even when the ministry of John is much easier to understand in its clear prophetic presentation in the scriptures than that of the seventh angel, Brother Branham, who the religious world take to be a spirit angel? Come on! Exactly what is John supposed to do that is not currently being done? What a pack of chronic unbelievers these men are, who, like Cain, see the vindication of God, but they just will not submit to the truth. As Charles Spurgeon clearly stated, a lichen travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting on its shoes. Truth is certain to overtake it and triumph gloriously. Hence John Huss of Bohemia often stated, truth conquers all. No man can catch an eagle. The eagle will fly, because the spirit of the eagle is still flying. Moreover, when an eagle logs onto the fountain of revealed truth, what can any man possibly give him in its place? Nothing else will work, for no man can take an eagle from the eagle food, the fresh carcass of the Word of God, which is the fresh manna, because that is his lifeline. You would only be wasting your time, and that is a fact. And as Apostle John openly declared, boldly and categorically in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth, and the spirit of error. So likewise I say to each and every one of you, now fight that, and call it Antichrist. For as you must know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. For he does not change. Hebrews 13, verse 8. We serve a risen living Christ. Brothers and sisters, many men use their age and longevity in the message movement as their status card, as if that means anything, and as if it is the evidence of true spirituality. The Pharisees did the same thing with Jesus Christ. These men never considered the fact that Moses was even Aaron's junior brother, and yet, Aaron had to follow Moses. St. Barnabas introduced St. Paul to the apostles, and yet, he too still had to follow the same Paul. Does a man have to be a Methuselah in the message before God can use him? And if God is going to use any man, must that man come to Tamar, to bow at the feet of John Tay, and declare his mission for approval? It looks like God must take permission from John Bemte before he can have a lead ministry. Men who receive the truth of the continuity message from William Branham, but will never follow it. Men who have made themselves lords over God's heritage, bending souls away from the truth for their selfish ambitions and carnal egos, calling a true minister an impostor, as if they have any message that can move the church forward in the light. May I say this, truth is what will have the last say, and the bride of Christ will have the last laugh. Only truth has a glorious end, for the end of untruth is horrible. You can knock the truth all you want, saying, you are only saying, truth, truth, truth. But it is truth that fits your teaching. Truth, truth, truth. I am in the truth. I am in the truth. You are only saying truth against your teaching. But the absolute and irrefutable fact is, past today, on this planet today in 2019, someone's revelation has to be God's truth. For there has got to be truth somewhere on the earth, and only God's faithful witness of this hour can have it. This is because the Bible-based truth of Jesus Christ does not come in a vacuum, and as such, someone's truth has got to be the truth, the revealed truth of Jesus Christ of the Holy Scriptures, regardless of your stand, for God does not need you to accept His truth, as all the elect seeds of God will come to the light. That was precisely why in 2004, in The Great Mystery, Part 1, Page 2, Column 1, Raymond Jackson warned, therefore as I continue with this message, I will be saying a lot of things that I have carried in my heart for many years. When I am finished, you are going to know that I have said things I have never said before. In fact, I think it is about time that some things be taken off of paper and put into some human hearts. Then a little further down he said, when John came on the scene 2,000 years ago, he had a strange message. It touched the heart of a strange people, but it was rejected by those who thought they were the main spokesmen for God in the Torah. And that is exactly how it is today. This quote reminds me of the Pharisees to whom Jesus gave a serious open rebuke in his day, as recorded in Matthew chapter 23, verse 13, declaring, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Someone will say to me, O brother Amos, why are you talking like this? Since it is only the seven stars, the seven star messengers that the seer will accept, then I will simply ask you to just go and read the writings of the second star messenger, Saint Irenaeus, titled Irenaeus Against Heresies, and see the good job he made of known heretics in his day, men he called by name, men whose evil pedigree he also laid out. You have to see that this is a war of the two spirits, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Also read the Gospel of Matthew chapter 23, and wake up from slumber, for the Spirit of God remains the same in the great battle for the precious souls of men, particularly in the darkest hour of humanity that we are now living in, these perilous times. For truth is once again in conflict. Open your eyes, for darkness has taken over Christendom, and perilous times are here. This brings me to the consideration of a very important issue, which John T. addressed at his youth forum, and this relates to the issue of succession claimers, as he put it. Speaking about the quote of Brother Branham in the Seven Seals, on He That Is to Come, Pastor T. said, those are some of the quotes claimers are using for succession story. They disagree among themselves, as if the men are to agree. The man is just talking like a little child, all because they do not want any leadership after William Branham. Now today, the reference point is the word, Chief Apostle. Are you okay? Brothers and sisters, when Brother Branham died, 65, the first time the word, Chief Apostle, came up in this end-time message, was in 2003. 2003, the year 2003. Get the genesis and the beginning of the word, Chief Apostle, we are hearing today. The first time this language came into the end-time message, was in the year 2003, when one brother Amos Segun Omoboriowo brought the word chief, as if anyone can make a man what God has not made him, or as if any man can give an unscriptural title that will hold. I read it to you in his message, Raymond Jackson. When God lifts up a standard, printed 2003. I read page 14. I quote, Raymond Jackson is the man of the hour. I'm happy he is the man of hour, and not the Jesus of the hour. My Jesus alone. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the rallying ministry for today, following the death of the prophet to this age, William Branham. Raymond Jackson is the man of the hour, the rallying ministry for today. And because he's not the same yesterday, today, he's not on the scene now. Oh my! Who made Raymond Jackson our Lord and Savior, the Christ, for Jonte to say this? We can turn that right around and also ask Jonte, since it is only the man William Branham that he will accept, for it is only his leadership that he will accept, even though he is dead. Is William Branham also here today? Is William Branham also the same yesterday and today? Is he also still on the scene? Is he not also dead? I say that because all what Jonte said about Raymond Jackson can also be said about William Branham. And the denominational folks are even using the same peril, childish, immature, and irrelevant point, plus the fact that Brother Branham died in a car accident, to reject and condemn the larger ministry of William Branham, as if a ministry is expected to live forever, just because the man claims a major ministry office. Now Jonte is saying that a number of these successor claimers are now dead, but so is Brother Branham. No successor is meant to live forever, except the lead ministry of Climax and Conclusion, the end type of Enoch, a lively apostolic ministry ordained of God for the rapture, who is also the end type of Joshua, the crossing over ministry. Pastor Tay is talking like an ignorant man. The fact remains that William Branham is also dead, and for your information, Raymond Jackson even lived much longer than William Branham did, although this fact has no spiritual relevance, but the fact remains that whilst Brother Branham died at the age of about 56, Brother Jackson died at a ripe old age of 80 years, just 4 months short of attaining 81 years, for he was born on March 22, 1924, and he died on December the 4th, 2004. However, the material issue is this: what has Raymond Jackson's death got to do with anything when the man never made himself the Lord or our Savior, and neither did I make him a Lord, for Jonte to make such a wicked comment? Let us ask this man who went to Faith Assembly to give a testimony of deceit. Pastor Jonte, will you not also die one day? What has that fact got to do with what you are now preaching and teaching, or with whatever you are claiming to be in the ministry, as the defender of the Word of God? It has nothing, absolutely nothing, to do with anything. Jonte continued preaching his unbelief to his congregation, blinding the poor people to the truth, falsely warning, "This should teach you, brother, make Jesus only am, and you are saved." That statement is even anti-word, and hence, it is antichrist. For Jesus, the Son of Mary, the Son of God, is not am, for it is Elohim, the God of all creation, the God of Abraham, the invisible, omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent Spirit. That is a great I am that I am, not Jesus, who is the Christ, the Anointed One of God, the promised Messiah. For if indeed Jesus is I am, which is scripturally denied, for he is not, why are we then crucifying the Roman Catholic Church for calling Mary the Mother of God? Here is a so-called teacher of the bride, who does not even know his Godhead, an elementary doctrine of the true Church. The man continued with his message of unbelief, saying, "The one who, 2003, he is the man today, we cannot say he is the man today, because today he is not around as man." Page. Man of the hour. Jesus is the man of the hour. Page 22. I read, Raymond Jackson is the standard bearer of this hour, whether you recognize it and accept it or not. Why this statement? Aberforce, truth is truth. You are only saying truth, truth, truth. But it is truth that fits your teaching. Truth, truth, truth. I am in the truth. I am in the truth. You are only saying truth against your teaching, and that your truth can be somebody else's truth. But there is only one truth. Jesus is the truth, says my Bible. Jesus alone must be lifted. Jonte was even angry at my use of the word truth, and in my emphasizing the truth. He is angry because I recognize another man's place in the ministry within God's revealed plan of salvation. And since he has put this book, titled Raymond Jackson, When God Lifts Up a Standard in Controversy, I will simply ask his people and anyone who is interested in finding out the truth, in order to verify what Jonte is saying, to freely download and read that very book, but they must use their Bible to judge it, to see if there is anything that I have thought that is wrong in it. For Jonte to be so annoyed about it. You be the judge, for I am open to censorship, because any man can quote certain portions of a material and use it in a perverted way, just as they do the Holy Scriptures. Jonte even claimed that the night Brother Jackson quoted the passage in the Seven Seals sermon book relating to He That Is To Come, that Brother Jackson never ever laid that quote upon himself, but merely quoted it, and that I was the one who laid that quote on him, as if I can give any man what God has not conferred upon him. Therefore, we will go straight to the facts, to see exactly what Brother Jackson said that very evening, in order to show the truth to the people of God, for we are not here to play games with the message of life. In his sermon dated September the 28th, 2003, and titled, The Mystery is Coming to a Close, Part 5, which is also in the contender, Brother Jackson said, I have to say this morning, brothers and sisters, when I look back and see how God led me, He's literally pushed me at times. But I had to recognize there was an apostolic call, not yet fully manifested. It was in the making. I can only do what I'm led to do. But I cannot tell I'm this or I'm that, cause there is too much ahead of me. But as I move along, God has raised all brothers. He's the one that makes the choice, not me. The reason I'm going slow, cause I'm going to say something. They'll do their best to cause me to have a funeral in the movement because of the quote he was about to use at night. As long as you talk about it on paper, yeah, the prophet said that. As long as you refer to it in the Bible, well, yes, that's what it says. But then, when you reach a point, what do you think is going on now? Well, I haven't never really seen it yet. But then if you say, how do you see me? That is, in the light of this very quote, well, I see you got some bald head. That's where it ends, because they don't see the revelation in your heart. But if you try to show them, take it off the pages of the sermon book and show who the quote applies to. Oh, now you're trying to make yourself something. It's always referring back to that. You're trying to make yourself something. Well, the denominational world said the same thing about Brother Branham. As time came on, and we begin to speak on this unity, for some reason, here's a little man in Africa, comes with a book. When God lifts up a standard, it is made known out over the internet. Now I want to try and bring this thing to a climax. Here's Brother Branham, it's in the month of April. He meant to say March, as he brings his message, on the seven seals, to a close. Now here's the part. So pay attention. Last week, I was fasting and praying. For some reason, I just went and read, and picked up this book, the Seven Seals book. And when I come to this paragraph, about He that is to come, I remembered years ago writing, Jesus in His ministry. It may be time, it may be the hour now, that this great person that we're expecting to rise on the scene may rise on the scene. Maybe this ministry that I've tried to take people back to the Word has laid a foundation. And if it has, I'll be leaving you for good. There won't be two of us here at the same time. If it is, He'll increase, I'll decrease. I don't know, but I have been privileged by God to look and see what it was unfold to that much. And here's actually what He said. And I got marked here. It's not Christ in His physical form. It's Christ in His ministry, walking by His Spirit on earth through a man, just as it was God in Moses, as a successor chief apostolic ministry to Elijah. Now they'll fight it like everything. You make yourself something. I didn't make myself anything. But God did make me strong enough, while they fired and shot. I care less what they think. Now then, He's not here physically. He's here spiritually, because the body of Christ is the embodiment of Christ. Just who cannot see that Brother Jackson was clearly laying claim to this quote? Yet, Jonte had the audacity to tell his people that Brother Jackson merely quoted it, and did not place it on himself at all, which is nothing but willful and blatant disinformation. Brother Jackson most certainly placed that quote on himself, and God helped me that night to log on to it, for by the grace of God, I caught the scriptural picture, the vision which that quote conveyed, and I laid it out in a book, titled, He That Is To Come. Read the book, together with my defense book, If you have not already done so, for it gives a complete breakdown of this prophetic quote in its true and perfect scriptural projection. And I give this counsel only because John Tay blatantly denied this quote being a prophecy, exactly as Bob Thompson had done in January 2005. And if we may ask, where is Bob Thompson today, testifying about his apostolic dream? Raymond Jackson said, "As I looked upon the minister's license, I noticed there was a blocked area, and immediately my eyes fell upon a word printed in the very top of the license, which was like a certificate. As I looked upon the word, I could see that it had been printed by Brother William Branham's own hand. Actually, he had burned it in there with an engraving object, much like men engrave saddles with. At the top of the certificate or minister's license was the word apostle written in large bold letters. Underneath that, in the area of writing where you read on any normal minister's license, it read, Raymond M. Jackson, being called of God, is hereby ordained to preach the gospel according to, and in the ring all that writing was written out, with an ink pen, in his own personal handwriting, with those different scriptures to back up my purpose in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the bottom of the license certificate, where normally the president of the association or organization or the bishop or elder of a particular denomination would sign his name, the signature read, William Marion Branham. Furthermore, I noticed up in the right-hand corner, where the date is placed to show when the license came in force, the date was August 1, 1965. That, brothers and sisters, was actually the day I related the dream to him about the horse. In his office that day, he had told me what the horse signified, but not the work I was yet to do. Now here, a little over a year later, it all comes back in another dream, and the other date and his signature, then this dream would show, scripturally, the work I was to do. Awakening from the dream, my heart was made to rejoice over this one thing. Now I knew scripturally where I stood, what my calling was to fulfill, and I knew if I would remain loyal to God and not listen to men, it is true, I would receive much ridicule, much opposition, and many, no doubt, will seek to destroy my influence, as they would attempt to mar the image of my person. Yet I knew if I would remain faithful to God, He will see to it that this ministry to which He had called me will serve His purpose. I believe it to be a biblical ministry, and furthermore, I believe it is truly, spiritually, in line with the written word of God. I realize if it is scripture, then as a minister of God, I had a right to study the message which was brought to the age. I have the right from God to explain to people why there is so much confusion and contradiction among the people at large over what this prophet, church age messenger taught to this age. At the same time, I have no right to make myself above and beyond anything of any other minister. May I warn that you cannot use this last statement to deny his takeover chief apostolic ministry, for it was not possible for him to have been given a the apostle certificate, but only simply that of an apostle, whilst the largest a messenger to this age was still on ground. On the very day that his apostleship was activated by God, particularly because God begins with men in humble ways. Remember, the certificate was dated August 1, 1965, and Brother Branham did not die until December 1965. After all, as at the end of May 2004, I did not even believe that I was an apostle, despite Brother Jackson's open introduction a month earlier, and I made this very declaration right before the whole church, right before the whole of Bible Faith Tabernacle. Are you now going to use that innocent and sincere declaration to take away my apostleship? In many passages of Scripture, St. Paul often referred to himself as an apostle, just as Romans chapter 1, verse 1, provides. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Are you also going to use that confession to take away his chief apostleship of the Gentiles? Listen to what Brother Jackson now declared in that day in the 70s, speaking specifically about a coming witness for his apostleship. Yet I know somewhere, God is going to have someone who will have enough of God in his life, enough boldness, enough determination to stand for the true entire word of God. No, he will not stand in defense of men's flesh, but he will stand in defense of the resurrected Christ and the true revealed word of God. Think about that seriously, and open your eyes, for this prophetic statement has been fulfilled today as we speak. Brother Jackson added, you may ask, how will we recognize an apostle in our day? I will just say, be true to God and He will reveal His end-time ministry to you. As for signs and wonders, this all lays in the plan of God. It is His business to do whatever He wants to. Remember this, an apostle's ministry cannot be determined by signs. This testimony lets us see just how God ordained that another person would bear the full testimony of Brother Jackson's principal apostolic ministry, following the death of William Branham. Most unlike Apostle Paul, who bore the full testimony of his own ministry office himself, as there would also be a pointer to Raymond Jackson, of precisely who his only successor lead apostle would be. Since the denominational world fights William Branham for calling himself Elijah, not Jesus Christ, but Elijah, and the Branham movement are also mad at me for calling Brother Jackson the chief apostle, for the spirit is the same, and it is one that hates leadership. May I reiterate, that the head of the ministry is not one man, as we had in Elijah, but plural apostles. However, you will never have to all more apostles without a lead apostle. You can fight and condemn it all you want, but you will not stop me from standing for what I know is the absolute truth of the Holy Bible. For we not only have the promised ministry of the end-time Elijah, we also have the promised ministry of the end-time John, quite apart from the fact that Brother Branham himself spoke many times about a successor ministry, which we cannot lay on the shelf. Someone had to fulfill it, regardless of how many men claim that quote or quotes. And if they deny that the man was not Raymond Jackson, as I have stated earlier, then let them please tell us who fulfilled it. They should be able to tell us, because someone had to fulfill it. Deny that all you want, your denial makes no difference to us, for the truth remains the truth, and it is marching on, and the gates of hell cannot and shall not prevail against it. Brothers and sisters, during the youth forum, a brother asked John T. about the quote that is laid out at the end of the Seven Seals book when the prophet was praying about his successor lead ministry on page 573, paragraph 3, where Brother Branham said to God, the Lord, I pray that you help me. I'm beginning to fade away. Lord, I know my days can't be too many more, and I pray that you help me. Let me be true, Lord, and honest and sincere that I might be able to bear the message as far as it's ordained for me to bear. And when it comes to the time that I must lay down, when I get down to the river and the waves begin to come in, O God, may I be able to hand this old sword over to somebody else that'll be honest with it, Lord, and would back the truth. Grant it, Lord. Until then, help me to be strong and healthy and courageous. Speaking about this very quote, Pastor Tay now replied the brother, saying, so, if we want to refer to somebody, I want to tell you that somebody has already identified himself in Congo. That is very interesting that that man will say that. John Alexander Dawe had already identified himself as the end-time Elijah, ever before William Branham stepped on the scene. So, are we now going to use the claim, the false claim or declaration of John Dawe, to deny the claim of William Branham, the true Elijah, just as the denominations are doing? Someone had to be Elijah, just as someone had to follow William Branham. In fulfillment of this prophetic quote, someone with the power of the revealed word, who packed the truth of the Holy Bible, and there is no man in the day that can't fit that shoe, except Raymond Jackson. Pastor Tay, you can explain away all the quotes to people who have no clue about the truth. That was exactly how James Allen also explained away the testimony Brother Jackson had given to Steve Yarrell's concerning my ministry. In January 2005, when James Allen was going to institute his canonical judgment of my book, He That Is To Come, Steve Yarrell warned him, and I learnt of this fact from the mouth of James Allen himself, on January the 16th, 2005, during his so-called judgment message, titled Reproof and Rebuke, where he said, a brother asked me this morning, he said, what would you do, because Brother Jackson said that there was a great calling upon his life. I began to think, and on my way from church, I have an answer for that. In other words, I know how to explain that great calling away, the same answer that Brother Jackson said, When he had to deal with Brother Strumming, he said that he had the potential of an apostle, and that potential was there in the case of Brother Amos. Now I ask you, does that even tally? There are always men explaining away everything, willfully blinding their people to the truth, just as John Tay is explaining away Brother Jackson's ownership of the successor quote of Brother Branham relating to the old sword, which was spoken of in the seventh seal, using the fact of there being many claimers of the quote, a most ridiculous and very porous argument. Look at it, according to Acts chapter 5, verses 36 to 37. Many false messiahs came before Jesus the Christ, such as Theudas and Judas of Galilee. So, is it that Jesus Christ and the other claimers should have come to Tamar to argue over which of them is the Messiah? Or better still, and borrowing the words of John Tay, which he used for Brother Branham's successor claimers, we should tell Jesus Christ, the car park of the scriptural quote of the Messiah is full with the cars of claimers, and there is no place there for Jesus of Nazareth to park his own car, for the whole space is taken. There is no vacancy. Ridiculous men. I have to ask John Tay, what revelation of truth has any of those men in the car park brought to the bride of Christ? What kind of words to come from a minister of the message, one who is supposed to pass on spiritual understanding to the universal bride of Jesus Christ? The man talks as if any man's claim to an office is what settles it, or that the many claimers of a promise eliminates the rightful owner, or that it even nullifies the word of promise. John Tanner began clowning, jesting, over what is a very serious prophetic subject matter, one which borders on God's vessel of continuity, the takeover lead apostolic ministry of the Paul of the end time, the ministry to which Aaron's rod that bordered was attached, the exclusive means for the universal bride of Christ to move forward in the day, into all truth, following the death of our Elijah. Saying about the sword quote, somebody has already identified himself in Congo with the same quote, that the sword has been handed over to him. So, if somebody is coming from Nigeria now, then there too. Then I need the Congo and the Nigerian man here, so that they will argue among themselves, while I watch them. Case closed. Brothers and sisters, I have never claimed, even by a slip of tongue, that I am the successor to Brother Branham. And neither have I ever claimed that the quote of the sword in Brother Branham's hand refers to me, for it certainly does not. John Tay is planting a deliberate lie in the hearts of the people to believe that I made a claim that I have never made, just to ruin my image. As a matter of fact, in my writings, I have laid this quote very squarely on the ministry of Brother Jackson. Why did I do that? It is simply because only the end-time leader that will come to the church, even as Paul came as the original leader, an immediate successor, and not a delayed successor to Brother Branham, can rightly claim that quote, and wear that very shoe, regardless of how many men claim it. For there can be no vacuum in the leadership of God's people into all truth. Now listen to me. It is the power of the revelation of the Holy Scriptures that Raymond Jackson packed, the power of the word that he bore, unveiling the Holy Scriptures, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, constituting the evident fruit of his ministry, that vindicates his location in this quote, as the owner of that quote, a revelatory fountain that John Tay has basked in for almost four decades, and for which, on April the 24th, 2004, he openly thanked Faith Assembly. He did not receive any revelatory flow of the scriptures from Congo, nor did he receive it from Ewald Frank of Krefeld, Germany, a man who he has even knocked on issues of truth. So, just how can he even bring in the issue of the Congolese preacher, for him to say that the man in Congo has already claimed the quote, when a mere claim to a quote does not confer the necessary revelatory anointing that empowers a man to own the quote? Any man can claim anything. And as the bride of Jesus Christ, are we going to accept every man that comes down the road because he made a claim to something? Does this really look like we are playing games following the revelation of life eternal we have in Jesus Christ? Just how can any man step into a divine office by a mere claim, without God's ordination, and without the necessary grace for that very office, a grace which has evident fruits to show? Being the wisest people on earth, does the bride of Christ not have enough wisdom to know who their feeder is, that it is the bearer of the fresh carcass of the word of God. Daniel chapter 12 verse 10. Come on! John Taking say all that to ignorant people, people who have absolutely no clue about anything, because they do not know jack all. He cannot give that to the bride of Christ, who have been following Jesus Christ in a true divine revelation of the word of God. There is no eagle that can be caged with the carnal projections and the blatant lies that he is now peddling in Ghana, except non-seeds. It is not for nothing that Jesus warned, even as it is written in Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. You want to think seriously on that. Continuing his projection on the sword, quote, John Tay finally said, you want to know who will be that somebody. Amen. Even the stored food, you see, brother, the problem is, you see, a prophet is without honor in his own country. Why should God take somebody, take him round, almost round? You think it's for nothing. God will starve somebody, that somebody, so that when he comes around, tap from him, get something from him. But the person is right sitting in your midst, and he's telling you, even this stored one, referring to the stored food quote of Brother Branham, three people in the Congo are claiming it, and somebody in Nigeria too is claiming it. Why the fight? Brothers and sisters, this man is charging me with a claim that I have never made in my entire life, for I have never claimed the stored food quote of Brother Branham. I challenge John Tay to give us the very page and scribe or book where I ever claimed that the quote on the stored food, or the quote on the sword, belongs to me. It is a blatant lie, a deliberate fabrication, which he made just to look good to his people, to ruin my image, and to cause further confusion, so that they will run for my publications. May God have mercy on his soul, for men of God are not expected to be dishonest, he continued, and I quote him in material parts. And then, the stored food. We were retro under, and somebody is also claiming that he had a vision and he went and met Brother Branham in Chicago, because he also had a dream giving food. And before he asked Brother Branham told him that Brother Frank, the dream you have is not a literal food, but the food is the message on the tape. He is saying this so. I haven't seen it on any tape. You wait until you get all the stored food, which is this message, before you start your ministry in Germany. So, Brother Frank is already claiming this one before Amos was born or came to the message. So, if you are going to land that one on Amos, I'm only preparing the way for you. The seat is occupied. So, if you bring Amos here, let's go and bring Frank. Let's go and bring all of them, and we shall sit around, and then we shall watch them, and let them argue. He later added, please, the sweetness in the pudding is in the eating. If you believe successors should come, and that is Amos, we beg you, bring Amos here. We will bring Frank here. We will bring Barotti here. We will bring Dioka here. He was referring to Pastor Leonard Barotti Kasongo and Pastor Richard Dioka, both from the Democratic Republic of Congo. And you'll see the one who will speak in tongues and speak somebody out of existence. St. Francis, referring to the brother who had asked him about the quote of Brother Branham in Spirit of Truth, relating to the man who would take the message on, and about the quote concerning the man who would take over the old sword and would pack the truth. This is the picture now, and the only proof, the message you have read. It said, so long as it stays with the scripture, let's follow. Let Amos, Barotti, whatever it is, preach from the Bible. I will say amen and follow. And the Bible has told me that we preach not ourselves. So, if he comes to preach about himself, I can't say amen. Preach the word. So, if Amos will preach the word, what? I will give him my shoulder to ride on. Why did he not do that for Raymond Jackson? This hypocrite. He never stood for Brother Jackson, despite the incredible light of the truth that he bore. So, it is not another man that he will stand for, regardless of the truth that man bears. And if Amos uses the declaration of Apostle Paul in Romans 11:13, Galatians 7-9, 1 Corinthians 3:10, Galatians 1 verse 8 to 12, and that of Apostle John in 1 John 4 to 6, to make a similar Bible-based declaration based on Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 to 11. That is preaching self, but that of Apostles Paul and John amount to preaching Christ. As it is written, wisdom is justified of her children, for by the sheer grace of God, and not of any ability of mine, I have preached a great expanse of the Holy Bible, covering the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, opening all fresh nuggets upon nuggets of divine truths of the Holy Bible, for the children of God. All I do, Pastor Tay, is just as you have asked. I preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, which you obviously do not see, which has brought great depth, richness, and absolute clarity of scriptural revelation to the universal body of saints, and unity of the faith, all by the sheer grace of the Almighty God. Hence, it is completely free from leaven, free from the prophetic fan of Matthew 3:12, whether it relates to doctrines, instruction in righteousness, the great prophecies of the Holy Bible, and the mysteries of the kingdom of God, including timeless ends of the prophet's message, just as Raymond Jackson did, all by the grace of God. Unlike you, Pastor Tay, very much unlike what you did during the question time at your youth forum, I have not canceled saints who ask whether Israel has 3.5 years or 7 years left to leave it for the children of Israel, because it relates to them, which is precisely what you told them that day, and yet they are expected to sit under you as their pastor, their shepherd, the feeder of their souls. Oh my! I do not do that, Pastor Tay, but rather, and by the sheer grace of God, I give them Bible answers, because every Bible question has a Bible answer, and if we have no clue, then we have no place standing to pastor anyone, for this is not a game, and neither has the ministry been established by God just to boost our carnal human egos. You seem to forget what God says about the purpose, the duty of the ministry in the Holy Bible. It is written in Malachi chapter 2, verse 7, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they, who are the children of God, should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And to help you, Pastor Tay, and I say this with all humility, you can visit our website, where by the grace of God, we have laid out this truth in the scribe, titled, The 70 Weeks of Daniel, for the edification of the children of God. Please, do not leave your people in ignorance of the truth, particularly a Bible subject that Brother Branham has already dealt with in his message, and stop preaching ignorance, for the day is far spent, and the Lord is coming soon, and it is imperative that we get ready by adorning the souls of God's precious seeds with the revelation of the Word of God, rather than paying mere lip service to the Word of God. As you have told me before your people, I say back to you, that you should use your own admonition, and preach the word. John Tay continued, saying, but if Amos will come and tell me that he is after Jackson, he is John of the book of Revelation, he is the latter-day messenger, he is the seven people who will preach thunders, he is one of them, and the seven people, he is their leader, he is their leader. I'm not a servant in the house of your Lord. He has claimed all the positions. This is precisely where the whole problem lies. Is it not, Pastor Tay? Yet, when we say that William Branham is the Elijah of Malachi 4 verse 6b, you say Amen. When we also say that he is the angel of Revelation 10 verse 7, you say Amen. When we also say that he is the angel of the church of the Laodiceans of Revelation 3:14, you say Amen. When we say that he is the midnight crier of Matthew 25 verse 6, you also say Amen. And when we say that Brother Branham is the Son of Man, a prophet, revealing Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, according to Luke 17:30, you also still say Amen. For all these Bible texts and titles refer to the same vessel of clay, living in the same period of time which they all point to, and hence, they all belong and relate to one man, William Branham. You have not equally accused Brother Branham that he has claimed all the positions, simply because that is all you want to see, for it is the leadership of a dead man that you will accept, and not a living one. However, when another man can, By the grace of God, locate his ministry in various prophetic quotes of the prophet to this age. All hell breaks loose just because you have no clue about the ministry of completion. Now we see the main issue. God is to be feared. Pastite, the Lord seen your outrun faithfulness, having borne with you for decades, brought you to faith assembly on that fateful day, on that lone occasion, to witness the God-inspired introduction and the declaration that the chief apostle made concerning an unworthy me, on account of the firm and faithful stand for the continuity truth, which the Lord enabled me to make, a firm stand that you would not make, for you would not acknowledge or accept anyone as anything, except it is you. John T. continued speaking about me, complaining to his people, and he is even who will get the thunders. The last time I was preaching here, something told me in my heart, when I said to messengers we'll take the message to Israel. But Amos is saying that he will get the seven thunders and take it to Israel. Sir, do your lies know no limit? Do you have no restraint in your conscience? Oh my! In all my sermons, brothers and sisters, both oral and written, I have never ever said that I will get or put together the seven thunders, and neither have I ever said that I will take them to Israel. Read our scribe, titled, The Seven Prophetic Thunders, as well as the one titled, The Jewish Connection. That claim is your total fabrication, Pastite, and I challenge you to prove me wrong. Bring a quote from any of my materials, which are available for free downloading online. You are doing exactly what James Allen and Bob Thompson did at Faith Assembly in 2005. You are playing on the intelligence of your people, trusting that they will believe whatever you claim, without trying to find out for themselves. Whether your accusations are true or false, you are putting your people to sleep. Yes, I confess, and deny not, that I am John. And I also confess that in the latter rain, when we will write the last chapter of the book of Acts, gives us no other man than John as the messenger in the time of the latter rain, because it gives us the very same period of time, John being the ministry of completion, as there must be, and there is a ministry of completion, regardless of your feelings and carnal objections. I further confess that by the grace of God, as the messenger in the hour of the latter rain, I believe that I will make the Jewish connection, according to the leading of God, in the same appointed divine prophetic hour. This is my honest belief, Pastite. You do not have to accept it, and you do not even have to mind me, as I am not asking you, or even forcing you, to follow me, for I have just minded my ministry, and I am minding my little corner here in Nigeria. And you must know, Pastite, that you will not make a difference to what I know the Lord in His sovereign love and mercy has called me to do, most unworthy as I am. May I also add that I have not made a bolder claim than what Apostle Paul made, Romans 11 verse 13, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10, Acts 13 verse 47, Galatians 1 verse 8 to 20, Galatians verse 7 to 9. When the Pharisees sent to John the Baptist, as recorded in John chapter 1, to find out who he was, he did not deny, but went straight to the book of prophet Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 to 4. To show his precise ministry position in the scripture that spoke of him, publicly declaring who he was. Did they follow him? It is recorded in John chapter 1, verses 22 to 24. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Did they believe him? Of course not. And did they follow him? They never did, because they took him as an impostor, a self-proclaimed forerunner. But can they stop him from making his precise ministry claim, his ministry confession, and could they stop him from carrying on his ministry? Not at all. And did that stop the elect seeds of God in the day from logging onto his ministry? Not at all. Pastite, you do not need to fight me over my confession, for you do not have to believe me. You should just leave everything to God, knowing undoubtedly, just as it is written in John chapter 3, verse 27. A man can receive nothing, except it be given him from heaven. So, what is your problem? You must also realize that the denominational world could not stop William Branham from declaring that he was Elijah, even though they still vehemently condemned him for that declaration, even as we speak today in 2019, for to them, that was an unpardonable sin, over which they used the simile declaration of John Alexander Dowie to blame him, and it is all because they do not want leadership. He was not to claim any major ministry position, even though it is a Bible-promised ministry, because he set his ministry above theirs, and they would have had to follow his ministry, which they never did, and they never will. That is the same demon that is motivating the Branham movement as we speak. But they cannot stop me from giving my own testimony, because they do not have to believe it or accept it. While you're minding me, Pastor Tay, is something convicting you deep down in your soul that you are trying to fight? Why did you call me my big brother in front of your gate that time in late July 2004? I would love to know, for the greeting has always intrigued me, knowing that in that day, the chief apostle was still on ground. Church, again, John Tay told his people that Richard Gann of Singapore wrote me concerning Faith Assembly's so-called correction on the projection of He That Is To Come, and that I called him an idiot in response. Just how do you use something that you know absolutely nothing about to blight a man? This is most deceitful, for that was not the issue that I had with Richard Gann. Richard Gann wrote an entire book on me, titled, Really Go, without sending me a copy, after I had sent him copies of the scribes where I dealt with his teachings, x-raying them by the Holy Scriptures, and proving them to be false by the Scriptures, which formed the basis of his own book in response, titled, Really Go. Since John Tay had the audacity to go there, then we will simply open it up, and you will see who is lying, because the problem that all these men have is with leadership in the ministry. In the youth forum that John Tay held in Ghana, the first of the two topics for discussion was 1. The chief apostle issue, the successors of the prophet, the John of our day. Similarly, in Richard Gann's book, titled, Really Go, page 6, paragraph 1, Mr. Gann stated, and please note that all emphasis is mine. However, this message is written for two reasons. Firstly, to show the foolish notion about the Church of Christ being led by one single super apostle called the chief apostle, and since he passed away, a leading apostle is now the head of all the ministers. Secondly, being the main reason, if there is truly a single super apostle, be a chief apostle or lead apostle, who will lead the bride to perfection, to a unity of faith, by his teachings which all other apostles and ministers must line up with, then his doctrines and exegesis, interpretation, of the scripture cannot and must not contain errors. Let me emphasize, this message is written to prove one main point, that if there is such an office of a chief apostle or a lead apostle, then the exegesis, interpretation, of the scripture by such men must be faithful to the word of God. May I add that I have never ever stated, or written anywhere, that the head of the ministry is one man, but I consistently state, and will continue to state for all who care to listen, that the head of the Ephesians 5 ministry gives us the apostolic fold of ministry, comprising of plural apostles. However, I also consistently state, we cannot have two or more apostles, without one being in the lead, for what Apostle Peter was to the Jews, Apostle Paul was to the Gentiles, lead apostles, principal or chief apostles. Period. 1 Corinthians 3:10, Romans 11:13, Galatians 2:7-9. So, we can all see, brothers and sisters, that the book of Richard Gann had nothing to do with the so-called judgment correction of Faith Assembly, but it was solely about leadership. Full stop. Secondly, I did not call Richard Gann an idiot in my own book, also titled, Really Go, which was my reply to Gann's book. When Richard Gann rudely called the chief apostle to this age, baloney, apart from lying blatantly against a dead man, I had to bring out relevant facts to refute the lies, for I had to defend Brother Jackson, just as I recently defended Brother Branham, over the very negative and damaging prophecy of the late Kenneth E. Hagin, in a scribe titled, Dispensational Messengers, Lead Ministries, in defense of William Branham, which we also produced in book form, all by the sheer grace and mercy of God. What I said to Richard Gunn was precisely this, and you be the judge, and you see in what light I said it. For it is most unbecoming for men who desire to perfect the bride not to have honor, for we are not here to play a game of dominoes. I said on page 68, for the accomplishment of this most crucial role of unity within a universal body of saints, a divine objective which forms the very essence of their calling, Richard Gunn implicitly or indirectly advocates or teaches that we should follow all sorts of men in the ministry, claiming to be apostles, or claiming to have a true revelation of the word. We should follow every idiot claiming to have the truth, and unity will eventually come. This is the exclusive context in which I used the word idiot on this page, as well as on page 71, for it was applied generally, and not directed at Richard Gunn or at any particular individual. Let John Tay be Christian enough, more so that he is a minister of the Holy Bible that he professes so much to love, to please give us the very page, and the paragraph, and the book or scribe, where I ever called Richard Gunn an idiot. Yes, it is true that I called him Antichrist, for he is truly anti-word, and to be anti-word is to be Antichrist, but I never called him an idiot. Moreover, John Tay did not tell his congregation that in the Rarely Ego book written by Richard Gunn on page 25, speaking over the issue of the instantaneous transformation of Cain into a giant, which was the mark of Cain, that Mr. Gunn had written of me, saying, what a twisty and faulty interpretation. And read the extract on the left. What buffoonery. He dared to conceptualize that Cain was having a great time torturing his would-be killers. And then he dared to attribute the concept as coming from God. What delusion. Is that the anointing of God upon his lead apostle, as if God has won? Or is it that a self-inflated preacher making himself something that he is not, more so when there is no such gift as a lead apostle given to the bride of Christ? Note, let me say this. A deluded man, thinking to be somebody, is a misguided man, and he will teach whatever his deluded mind will conceptualize. Perhaps more so, if he has a lawyer's mind. This self-proclaimed lead apostle is a smart educated man who studied to be a lawyer, moving further in his Rarely Ego book and still speaking about the instantaneous transformation of Cain the day into a giant. Richard Gunn added, how silly. Obviously, the increase in Cain's physical size did not happen instantly but gradually over a period of time. Learn. It was many years later, after daughters were born to Adam, that Cain took one of them for his wife. For anyone so foolish as to say that the increase in the physical size of Cain was instantaneous has a distorted mind. And since Richard Gunn had challenged the truth, calling it buffoonery and the thoughts of a distorted and deluded mind, I had to take up the challenge in order to defend and reinforce the truth. For even in one of Brother Branham's meetings, a natural plant that was in front of the pulpit grew astronomically and instantaneously in divine presence the very day, and not over time. God lifted up a standard, and by God's sheer grace, God's divine enablement, I secured my position in the Holy Scriptures, showing by the Scriptures, as well as by His own writings, that His points were pointless, which means, in essence, that he could not touch the truth that I had been used of God to establish for his children in the Scribe magazine, from the pages of the Holy Bible. This proves precisely what Richard Gunn claimed, that the lead apostles, doctrines and exegesis, interpretation, of the Scripture cannot and must not contain errors, and that is a scriptural fact. Subsequently, this was the precise reason all the arguments of Mr. Gunn crashed down like a pack of dominoes, vindicating that my teachings are indeed scripturally untouchable, being a perfect revelation of the Word of God, all under God. Saints of God, that is it about Richard Gunn, for his book was not about any so-called correction that I had received from James Allen and Bob Thompson of Faith Assembly. It was strictly about leadership. It was about the issue of the chief and the lead apostolic ministry. John Tay further claimed that he had corrected me, and that I called him an idolater and a prostitute. Yes, it is true that I called him an idolater and a prostitute, which I believe is only a fair comment, and this is for two main fundamental and scriptural reasons. Firstly, It is because he eats on every table and fellowships with every man in the ministry, regardless of their beliefs, and however opposed they may be to one another in their teachings, on the warped basis that he loves every man in the ministry, when indeed it plainly makes him a compromiser, a spiritual prostitute, and a religious politician. Brothers and sisters, that is nothing but an ecumenic spirit, the same spirit that is behind the World Council of Churches, which is the image of the beast, Amos 3 verse 3, 2 John 1 verse 9 to 11, Romans 16 verse 17 to 18, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14 to 18. The Word of God calls for total separation from all unbelief. To think that the relationship he has with all these men is not a social one, but strictly a spiritual one, when they do not believe the same thing. Yet, he preaches on their pulpits, and they also preach on his own pulpit. What then is that, if not spiritual prostitution? How is it different from the ecumenical spirit? Instead of being ashamed of himself and repenting, this man is terribly annoyed with me for my honest rebuke, simply because in the scribe that we published in January 2007, titled The Foundation of the Fivefold Ministry, Part 5, page 10, columns 2 to 3, I said, the revelation of God is one. It is not possible that God will deal with two ministries on the same issue of faith, and one will go to the north with it, and the other to the south, and both will be speaking by God. No, it is a lie. That is why, church, we do not believe in standing with Brother Jackson, and standing with Joseph Coleman, and Richard Gunn, and with the word Frank. At the same time, we don't believe that. We don't believe that. That's spiritual idolatry. It is spiritual prostitution if you do, for they don't believe and preach the same thing. And that's what my brother, John B. Tailgana, is guilty of. Before he came to the convention at Faith Assembly last spring, that is April 2004, he first went to Jules Frank's ministers' convention in Krefeld, Germany, on his way to Faith Assembly. After the spring convention, he came down to Nigeria in July 2004, a week before I went with my wife to Ghana. He came to Richard Gunn's people to preach on their pulpit, and they also go to Ghana to preach on his own pulpit. That is spiritual prostitution, because the revelation of God is one. God will not take compromise. This is what the man is angry with me about. Instead of repenting and praying for deliverance, may I even ask him, Pastor Tay, just how do you teach your people to have a firm, unwavering, and faithful stand for truth, when you do not have a clue about what it is to have such a stand, when you do not even know what it is to be a spiritual prostitute, and when you have no clue about what spiritual prostitution is? You have no clue about what it even means to walk in compromise. Are you not an acclaimed teacher and a leader in the Branham movement, yet you do not understand these elementary things, but pride in your unfaithful and most compromising stand? Secondly, the fact that John taken paid service to the Holy Scriptures by reading a passage or two of the Bible and then lay it aside to start preaching quotes upon quotes upon quotes of William Branham from the beginning to the end of his message is nothing but idolatry. This is precisely the kind of preaching the denominational people hear that makes them call the Branham movement a cult. It is idolatry to preach from any source other than the Holy Bible, which is the exclusive basis and the sole foundation for our true inspired preaching. For that is exactly what he did in his message on YouTube, titled Principles Upon Which the Entire Message is Built, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, Isaiah 29 verse 13. Yes, we can quote any man when it fits with the thought projection of the Word of God that we are trying to lay out, but the fact still remains that there is a limit to which we can quote men without bordering on idolatry. Period. It is also brazen idolatry to accept and follow only the leadership of a dead man, for it is only the leadership of Brother Branham, a man who has been dead for the past 54 years, that John Tay accepts, and the man who he parrots, which is precisely why he would not accept the chief apostle, the end-time Paul. Now tell me that that is not the truth. The main issue, however, is this: since he also claimed that he corrected me, I have to ask, Just when and where did John T. correct me? For that is a blatant lie. We have not seen each other since he ran away from me during my visit to him in Ghana in late July 2004, and in that visit, he did not give me the time or the opportunity to have any personal discussions with him, which was precisely why he even abandoned my wife and myself right at the dinner table in the hotel that he had taken us to for dinner one evening, leaving us with his personal assistant, and this was when Brother Jackson was still alive. Neither have we had any communication whatsoever since that visit to Ghana in July 2004. So, exactly when and on what did he correct me? What was the forum and the means of that correction? Sir, it is despicable for men in the ministry not to have honor and integrity. Pastor T, it is a big shame that a man of your age and ministry stature would manufacture lies without a prick or conscience when at your age. Your sole thinking should be about meeting God face to face, to account for all the souls that you are caging and deceiving. Now listen to John T. the Elisha prophet, for he now declared prophetically in his youth forum, Amos said he will go to Israel, but now, I forbid you to go, with divine authority. Saints, what do you say to men like this? The man is speaking like a clown. That is childish talk, Pastor T. This will force me to say, you have no clue to the perfection of the bride of Jesus Christ, and neither do you have a clue to the original ministry of the bride, and may the Lord have mercy on your soul. This man obviously determines everything, and he actually runs the program of God. Otherwise, he would not have uttered such carnal nonsense. Neither would he have asked that all the men claiming to be something should come to Tema and slug it out before him to determine who is who, when, with the instrument of time, and by his Spirit, God himself will sort out all of us in the ministry, and prove who is who. Is his church in Tema the headquarters of the Bride of Jesus Christ? What does this man really think this is all about? Is it a game? No wonder, the Holy Bible says, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Job 32 verse 9. This is a new day, Pastor T. You do not seem to understand, just as it is written. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Acts 9 verse 5. Pastor T, God has moved on beyond what you can ever imagine. You do not have a clue about what the day is saying, for this is now the day of the true bride, the word bride. You have had your day. Can you not see the handwriting on the wall? God is not in crowds, Pastor T. God is not in numbers. And neither do I care for crowds, for God is solely in his word. I would rather travel to the moon to preach to just 5 hungry souls who love the revealed word of Jesus Christ than preach to a stadium filled with unbelievers and politicians. That is precisely why I care only for the pure, unadulterated, and continuous revelation of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible. God is not in your bandwagon, Pastor T. God is in his revealed word, an ever-flowing fountain of fresh revelation of Jesus Christ. Exactly what do you think the golden pot that held manna, fresh manna, that was inside the ark, represents? Hebrews 9 verse 4. Where do you place its application? It represents the meal of the king, the meal the king provides for his elect eagle children, which is nothing but the fresh carcass of the word. That is precisely why you do not understand the present truth, the present and continuous revelation of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible, that the lead ministry bears, is the drawing cord and the rallying point for our elect seeds of God around the earth, the true eagles, who feed solely on the fresh carcass of the Word of God, the fresh manna that comes out of the golden pot, according to Matthew 24, verse 28, not on old and stale recycled meal that we received way back in 1965. A meal that we have already appropriated, and from which we have moved on in the light of the Holy Scriptures. It is a brand new day, Pastor T, although you just cannot see it, for God has moved on. Finally, John T said during his youth forum, Church, this continuity message, I started preaching before Amos came to the message. Good for you. Let us see just how that prepares you for the rapture, as that seems to be your passport. The scribes and Pharisees said the very same thing to Jesus Christ, whose entire earthly age was only 33 and a half years. I take his statement again. Church, this continuity message. I started preaching before Amos came to the message. I started preaching them. And I can tell you, when Brother Branham told Raymond Jackson, go and speak for me, and Raymond Jackson told him, they won't listen to me. Are you following me? He said, oh, you go and preach for me. They won't follow me. They won't hear me. Brother Branham spoke to him again. And he told Brother Branham, I will bring you some topics. If it is okay for you, then I can go and speak for you. Prehistoric world. The woman of Revelation 12. Is it not? Let us now ask John Tay, since he has gone down this route, using the very testimony you just gave with your own mouth about Raymond Jackson. What does this make Raymond Jackson in the ministry, if not a successor lead apostolic ministry? The end time Paul. Your own testimony and unbelief will find you out, you hypocrite. He concluded, brother, I started reading these things before you came into the message. Take time, my brother. Take time. Take time. God has raised people here in Ghana who have been with all these people. Oh, do you know about the names of the top 10 in the message? The top 10, and those all the top 10 in my friends are my friends. Brothers and sisters, the 10 elders are at it again. Here comes that spirit again. Here come the 10 elders. How history repeats itself, vindicating the word of God recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. How true and perfect are the judgments of the Lord. For as verse 11 declares, now all these things happened unto them, the children of Israel in the wilderness, for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come, prophetic of the realities that we are now also facing, right here at this same time. Think about it seriously, for we are not here to play snakes and ladders. To even think that while we consider these so-called top 10, none of them see eye to eye, and not even two of them believe the same thing, being nothing but a top 10 of absolute confusion. This brings me to the issue of the book that we wrote, titled The Input of Ham, a truth which we also laid out in the scribe. Mike Hefner, a pastor in Montgomery, Illinois, USA, said that a seed of Ham cannot bear the apostleship because Ham is cursed, although I am still waiting to this day for him to show me the very scripture in the entire Bible where Ham was specifically cursed, because the Holy Scriptures record that it was Canaan, Ham's fourth son, that was cursed, according to Genesis 9:25. By the grace of God, we brought out the reason Ham could not have been cursed and why he was not cursed by God in our scribe titled, Ham is in the Covenant. Mike Hefner said that, all in his futile bid to deny something which is a reality of God for today and is the input of Ham. On the other hand, and similarly, John Tay also went on an elaborate journey to deny the truth of the input of Ham, as if this truth has to do with man. He told his congregation at the Youth Forum that we have only two nations for the purposes of redemption, the Jews and the Gentiles, which is a fact, a scriptural fact, and that consequently, if a person is not a Jew, he is a Gentile, regardless of the nation that he belongs to. We are all Gentiles, which fact I am not disputing. However, he used this truth to deny the obvious fact that God is using the race of Ham right here at this evening time to carry the continuing and concluding light of Jesus Christ for the bright universal, which move gives us the currency of God's leadership into all truth. Now I say that this projection of John Tay is a blatant lie, and it just shows his total ignorance by using the classification of Gentiles as one race to take away the truth of what God is doing today in moving his kingdom forward in the light. In the first place, look at what St. Paul stated in the book of Romans chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. And that is an indisputable fact of the Holy Bible. For the Jews alone gave the world the entire Bible, the entire oracles of God, both Old and New Testaments. For no Gentile wrote a verse of the Holy Bible, and the Jews are strictly from the lineage or race of Shem. They are Shemites. Apostle Paul, the chief apostle of the Gentiles, was a Jew, a Shemite, and he wrote more than half of the New Testament, Then God anointed Apostle John in his place, also a Jew, a Schmidt. Following the death of Apostle Paul in 66 AD, John wrote the Gospel of John, the three epistles of John, and the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and he died in 100 to 101 AD, the entire Holy Bible having now been written. St. John's disciple, St. Polycarp, was a European, and the disciple of St. Polycarp, a man by the name of St. Irenaeus, a European, was the man who became the star messenger to the Second Church Age, the Smyrnaean Church Age. The third, fourth, fifth, and sixth star messengers were all Europeans, all from the lineage or race of Japheth. And yet, the universal bride of Christ is not made up of only Europeans, or better still, to use the projection of John Tay, the one Gentile nation of the bride is not made up of only Europeans. That is a notorious fact which we do not need any scripture to prove, and yet, there is no scripture, not one shred of scripture, that says that only the Europeans within the one Gentile nation of the bride will carry the torch of the gospel for five church ages, from the Second Church Age straight through to the Sixth Church Age. But that is exactly what our sovereign and omniscient God has done. The material question now is this: where is the input of Ham into the kingdom of God in the carriage of the gospel on a global scale, a universal scale, to also move the kingdom of God forward in the light, as a fellow beneficiary of Aaron's rod upholded, when we can all see the input of the lineage of Japheth, the Europeans, within the one Gentile nation of the bride? It is true that the Gentile nation is one, made up of all nations outside that of Israel. Nevertheless, we can all see how God has used just one lineage of people, the Europeans, from the Japhetic race, from the ending of the First Church Age, right down to the Sixth Church Age. Then in this seventh and final Church Age, God anointed William Seymour, an African-American, right at the opening of this Laodicean Age, who bore the oil message, and through the Pentecostal movement that he spearheaded, the gifts of the Spirit were restored. After the Pentecostal move, God started his move to get the bride, and hence, he anointed William Branham, again from the lineage of Japheth, as the seventh and final star messenger, the star messenger to Laodicea. After his death, the baton of truth was passed over to the chief apostle, a man who was still from the lineage of Japheth. We have to ask, is the lineage of Japheth the only lineage that makes up the one Gentile nation of the bride? How come from the ending of the First Church Age, right up to the Seventh Church Age, it is only the lineage of Japheth God has used as light bearers for the collective body, leading us into all truth? What about the lineage of Ham? Consequently, you have to see by the reality of precisely how God has walked in the earth, that God walks through races, despite the fact that we have only one Gentile nation of the bride. I repeat, although we have only one nation of the bride, one Gentile nation, the truth also remains that God walks through races, races who make up this universal body. We can all clearly see the input of the Shemitic race, who gave us the entire oracles of God, and we can also all see the input of the Japhetic race, who were the bearers of the light, in whom was invested Aaron's rod upholded throughout their church ages, six church ages, following the death of Apostle John. In total contrast, however, the input of the Hamitic race is nowhere to be found in this regard, and that was precisely what Brother Jackson was referring to, for it was what he was commenting on at Faith Assembly when he said to me, "We have seen the blacks excel in the field of sports and all entertainment, but in this way of revealed faith, they are just not there in any major way. It is so good to see God use a black man like this." You have to be willfully blind not to see this notorious fact, for you do not need the scriptures to prove things that are as plain as day. And yet, according to Acts chapter 17, verse 26, and Genesis 9 verse 1, God populated the whole earth after the flood through Noah, using his only three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, giving them the very same commission that he had given Adam in Genesis. So, where is the input of Ham? In Matthew chapter 2, we can see the prophetic gifts of the Magi, the three wise men, which they gave the young Messiah, men who will represent the three main races of people we have on earth, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And in the Grace Age, we have seen the input of the Shemitic race in giving us the New Testament records, and we have also seen the input of the Japhetic race in carrying the gospel around the world throughout the church ages. However, in the Grace Age, the input of Ham, in the divine leadership of God that is attached to the carriage of the Ark of Life, Jesus Christ, the true Ark of Life, is missing, being non-existent, and is the only race or lineage whose input is totally missing. That was precisely why, in his message dated the 15th of January, 1963, and titled, Accepting God's Provided Way at the End Time, a most instructive and prophetic title in itself, for the Holy Spirit was now going to show us things to come in this last age, Brother Branham made a serious prophetic declaration, one which we have laid out sufficiently in our Scribe magazines for anyone who is interested in truth. Speaking specifically about the coming change in the racial carriage of the Ark, the Word of God, which requires the application of Aaron's rod recorded during the prayer line, right after the angel of God had now descended into the meeting, William Branham made a categorical declaration on page 37. Paragraphs 279 to 281. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I take this audience under my control, but for the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you, as believers, don't you move. Sit still. And you believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that I'm here to make known His works and His ways, giving us the things of Christ to come, precisely how God wants to move in the earth, right here in this last age. I've been very reluctant on these things. The 15-16 years I've been on the field, to share something, seeing the raw racism that existed in the day, particularly during his visit to South Africa, a dark history which has now come back big time. In the day, the whites in South Africa, the lineage of Japheth, on account of apartheid, would not even allow Brother Branham to speak to the African natives, the children of Ham, and they forced the prophet out of the will of God, although they all paid a price for this disobedience, including the prophet himself, whom God allowed to unknowingly swallow a serious and most deadly bug, called amoeba. So, just how could the prophet now tell them that God was going to raise a lead ministry from the lineage of Ham, an integral part and parcel of the one Gentile nation of the bride? He could not share this particular revelation, even though he carried his message around the world many times, but all because of the extreme racism that existed in the day. He kept this truth of what was to come, what God was going to do, to himself, for those 15-16 years. However, he knew he could not hold it forever, regardless of the unbelief and denial of men. Therefore, in January 1963, he declared plainly and categorically, but there's an hour coming now, in this Laodicean age, when something is fixing to take place. The message will go to another nation, and if he had left it here, we could be arguing all day long about the particular nation. But he added, another people, which simply means another race, taking it completely away from the lineage of Japheth, to another lineage, which cannot be any other than that of Ham, not Shem, but Ham, in order to give the lineage of Ham within the one Gentile nation his own and put in the carriage of the ark which has Aaron's rod recorded attached to it. We have to see that from the second church age, it has been the lineage of Japheth carrying the ark, the word, for the whole wide world, right up to the hour of Raymond Jackson, except at the brief point of William Seymour, who came with the oil message. Therefore, just how can another nation, another people, possibly be the lineage of Japheth, when that is Brother Branham's lineage, for he belongs to the people, race, of Japheth? May I add that it does not matter how many people claim a quote, the fact remains that it has its exclusive and specific national and racial application. Furthermore, there is a divine sense that follows the projection of truth, quite apart from the absolute scriptural fact, that whichever race or lineage of people this quote truly attaches, that very race or lineage, obviously must have the vessel of truth, a light bearer, characterizing and expressing God's leadership into all truth, a chosen vessel that God has anointed within that nation. Therefore, that particular nation in that particular lineage must have fresh manna to give fresh carcass of the word, manifesting the current leadership of God in the carriage of the ark, leading the body collective into all truth, present tense truth. Amen. For as it is written in Matthew 24, verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Therefore, I repeat, that nation must have the fresh carcass, which will be the attraction for our true eagles of God around the entire globe, and that, brothers and sisters, is precisely the attraction to Africa in this last junction, here at this evening time, because the freshly revealed truth of the Word of God is the attraction on the mountain. Then the chief apostle stepped on the scene, and his open declaration made the quote of Brother Branham very plain, for in an open convention, on April the 24th, 2004, he turned to a black man from the continent of Africa, the lineage of Ham, and declared, "You have done a good job as Luke ever did. There is no doubt you will write the last chapter of the book of Acts as a bride gets ready to leave this world. That gives us the very nation and the very people. Now fight that, for you should be able to see something. Open your eyes and quit your unbelief and come out of your closet and see that the sun is still shining." That is why we produced a scribe titled The Sun and the Gospel Movement, because wherever the sun is representing the Bible light of the Son of God, there must be light, pure light, absolute light. Even a Japhetic man, the chief apostle, openly attested to this truth, when as yet no one had any inkling about it, and neither did any of us truly understand his open declaration until he passed away. And may I add that the fruit of Brother Jackson's open declaration, exactly as Moses had done to Joshua in Numbers 27 verse 15 to 23, now shows glaringly, vindicating that open introduction for all the elect bright seeds of God around the globe. Saints, I must continue to declare the truth of what God is doing today for the body of Christ collective in moving her forward in the light in this Laodicean age. For these are the days of the input of Ham. It is this very truth of God's works and his ways, right here at this end time, that men are fiercely denying and fighting, thinking they are fighting a man, and as if anyone can stop God. Do you not know what Dr. Gamaliel advised the Sanhedrin Council in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 5? In verses 38 to 39, he warned, "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." People just never get it, which is precisely why some men were also knocking the input of William Seymour, an African-American, whose opening move in this Laodicea age was a pointer to the ending move of God in this same Laodicean age, of God walking through the lineage of Ham. And to all these men who were questioning William Seymour, men who were querying his position in the ministry, a position which even William Branham acknowledged, and on account of which God took away Brother Branham's first wife, Sister Hope, due to Brother Branham's initial refusal to follow the Pentecostal movement, men who were asking about William Seymour, what truth did he restore? To such men, I will also ask, what are you going to do with the Gospel of St. Mark chapter 4? Verse 28, and the prophetic ear, the shock on the bright tree, which gives us the gifts of the Spirit, and the all message which God used William Seymour to restore, for his ministry is tied to the bright tree. Are you only going to see and accept the blade, a collective noun standing for plural blades, which gives us the restored elementary yet fundamental doctrines of the Church, which the Reformers restored, but you do not want to see and accept the input of the shock, the ear, in seed reproduction, in the same vessel of Scripture? Are the blades and air not both essential parts and indispensable inputs of seed reproduction? Can you have original seeds without the air, which gives us the dynamics of the Spirit, and only with the blades? Come on! Brothers and sisters, these unbelieving men are only trying to use this carnal argument to deny the fact that at the beginning of this Laodicean age, the opening move of God through the ministry of William Seymour an African-American, foreshadowed the ending move of God through the ministry of the end-time John, an African, by denying the place and the input of William Seymour. Period. Kura, Arawak again, right here at this evening time, preaching total unbelief to the people, and opposing the leadership of God attached to the carriage of the Ark of Life, when it is scripturally settled that there can be no vacuum in the leadership of God's people, who make up the true bride of Christ. But as it is written in Numbers 32, verse 23, be sure your sin, your unbelief, will find you out. In closing this message, speaking about the reproduced elect bride that is ordained for the rapture, in his message, titled, The Seven Church Ages, under the subtitle, The Pergamian Church Age, William Branham declared, one night as I was seeking the Lord, the Holy Spirit told me to pick up my pen and write. As I grasped the pen to write, His Spirit gave me a message for the church. I want to bring it to you. It has to do with the Word and the Bride. Here is what I am trying to say to you. The law of reproduction is that each species brings forth after its own kind, even according to Genesis 1:11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so. Whatever life was in the seed came forth into a plant and thence into fruit. The very same law applies to the church today. Whatever seed started the church will come forth and be like the original seed because it is the same seed. In these last days, the true bride church, Christ's seed, will come to the headstone, and she will be the super church, a super race, as she nears him. During the opening of his youth forum, John Tay also spoke about the restoration of the bride tree, and much later towards the end of the meeting, when answering a particular question, Pastor Tay said, so, we need a restitution, and restoration is not replacement, the same thing coming back the same. To make the first ministry and the last ministry the same, Alpha Bride must be the same like Omega Bride. Hallelujah. That statement simply means that it will be the very same ministry bride product we will have at this harvest time, just like that of the early church, the original pure seed bride church ministry. Brothers and sisters, I find it very interesting that the man will say that with such great enthusiasm, because we must also ask him, how can the Omega Bride ministry be the same like the Alpha Bride ministry, without the apostolic head of the Alpha Bride ministry? Pastor Tay, how exactly is the first ministry and the last ministry going to be the same without apostolic headship? Just how is it going to happen without the end-time fathers of the revealed faith of Jesus Christ, the original writers, custodians, guardians, and founding fathers of our faith, the true faith, the original midwives of the true church, and the head of the New Testament ministry? How can we ever have the Omega Bride ministry without the apostles, the principal witnesses of the resurrected Christ, the bearers of the true light of Jesus Christ? And just how are we going to have apostles without the beginning office of the apostolic fold of the Ephesian ministry, the end-time Paul, the apostle, the chief or lead apostle, which the Alpha Bride ministry, the first ministry, had? These hypocrites and chronic unbelievers, men who are paying mere lip service to the word of life, fervent lips of love they have for the word of God, but their hearts are far removed from the same word of God because of the idols in their hearts. May I remind you, on the full and unquestionable authority of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, that until we first have the apostles on ground, there is no original Ephesian ministry we will have. And if all the men in all the folds of the Ephesian ministry see eye to eye, ensuring that there is no confusion of revelation within the universal body of Christ, how much more will the head of the ministry see eye to eye? It is most certain, therefore, that all apostles must and will see eye to eye on all issues of truth for the attainment of that unity of the faith, and because the revelation of God is one, being perfect, infallible, and immutable. Isaiah 50 to verse 8, Ephesians 4 verse 11 to 14. Consequently, we will not have any Omega Bride ministry without the original apostles being on ground. For this is not BBF Tamil program or John Tay's program, but God's Holy Bible program. For it is infallibly written in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles. Period. Deny that. That was a question he was asked during his youth forum, a question he never answered. And common sense will tell you, fight it as you may. You cannot have two or more apostles without one of them being in the lead. You can deny that all you want and explain away the truth to your congregation using the facts of many claimers. The fact still remains that the unbelief of the unbeliever does not stop or hinder God. It only hinders the unbeliever, for God moves on in his plan of redemption, regardless of any man's unbelief, for everything will follow the Bible plot. May I say this? Someone's rod has to blossom one of these days, and it will be the man whom God has chosen, in order to shut the mouth of the opposition, the Korah of his day, just as God did in the wilderness when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. Someone's rod will blossom, for as the chief apostle declared, there is coming a showdown at sundown, and in the day, we will all know who the messenger in the latter rain is. After this time, Pastor Tay, you will not hear anything from me, no matter what you say or write, for I have better things to do with my time. You can parrot Brother Branham all you want to. As a quote specialist, you will find out down the road that the leadership of God is current, ever current, for the Almighty God, the great I Am That I Am, does not lead his people with the leadership of a dead man. He did not do so when Moses died. He did not do so when Elijah the Tishbite died. He did not do so when Apostle Paul, the first messenger, died, and he will not do so today either. Following the death of William Branham, the seventh star, Aaron's rod that budded, represents the leadership God attaches to the carriage of the Word of Christ, the true ark. It represents the current revelatory divine leadership authority that God invests in his anointed vessel of truth, a vessel of clay ordained to carry the torch of truth, in this third and final junction of time in Laodicea, for the universal bride of Christ, in order to move his kingdom forward in the continuing and concluding light of his great plan of redemption, leading them into all truth, which is still progressively given, and also actualizing unity of the faith, a revelatory reality we now have on the earth among a universal body of saints, who now see eye to eye, for we serve a present tense God, a God whose leadership is current, ever current, never past. Take it or leave it, for you are at total liberty to choose which way you will go, although I pray you see the light, and utilize this rebuke of life to recover yourself, for your soul is precious, if you can only see its preciousness. Of this I am confident, every seed of light in Ghana and around the world will see the light, and will come to the light, for no man can cage an eagle. All eagles will fly, for they are birds of heaven. Now I rest my case. The Lord bless you.